In a location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's a pizza paradise.
That's 582-9149.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Reaction to the president's new policy for Iraq. Democrats who spoke today, without exception, didn't like it. Delaware Senator Joe Biden.
What the president has proposed is more likely to make things worse.
Kentucky Republican Mitch McConnell says Democrats ought to stop beating around the bush.
I wish they'd just say it. What they want to do, apparently, is to leave.
I'm Peter Mayer at Fort Benning, Georgia. The commander-in-chief has no easy answers for troops and their families wondering how long the war will last, how many more deployments to Iraq.
Now's the time to prepare this country and our military for the long struggle.
A familiar struggle to hundreds of Fort Benning troops returning to Iraq after multiple missions. Mr. Bush insists the U.S. commitment there is not open-ended, but today he indicated the next president will inherit the conflict. Peter Mayer, CBS News, with the president at Fort Benning, Georgia.
Congressional testimony today about the war on terror and the threats against this country. Al-Qaeda may be America's primary focus, but National Intelligence Director John Negroponte says, don't forget Hezbollah. They are newly empowered, emboldened, and don't like the U.S. a bit.
Hezbollah's self-confidence and hostility towards the United States as a supporter of Israel could cause the group to increase its contingency planning against United States interests.
As for the proliferation of weapons, the great threats, he says, are Iran and North Korea. Oil prices, $51.88 a barrel at today's close, down another $2.14. Oil analyst David Purcell in Houston.
Fundamentally, our view is nothing's changed in the world over the last 10 days to make the price go down $10 a barrel. But the reality is it has, and that's a big move in 10 days.
Expect a good 10% drop at the pump, he says, in a week or so. The House voted today in favor of a bill to increase taxpayer funding for research into stem cells from embryos. Alabama Republican Robert Adderholt voted against it.
This bill unnecessarily opens the door to research that sacrifices one life for the potential help of another.
Illinois Democrat Danny Davis voted yes.
We don't know all of the possibilities and potentialities of stem cell research. But we sure know that we have a responsibility to try and find out.
The Senate's also expected to pass it, but in the House at least, today's vote would not have been enough to override the veto that President Bush promises. Most berries are really good for you, talking about raspberries, strawberries, blueberries, blackberries, and of course, cranberries. Turns out the most effective berry for slowing the growth of colon cancer and of cancers of the mouth, strawberries. That from the Journal of Agriculture and Food Chemistry. On Wall Street today, the Dow soared more than 72 points to close at a new record, 12,515. The Nasdaq gained 25.5 points. This is CBS News.
Kick back for the moment. Let your worries drift away, because here we're living for today. Let's go out back tonight.
Pick up the day. Go out back tonight, where fresh R.E. Turner is seasoned, seared, and served on a bed of crisp romaine. Start the new year fresh. Leave your worries at the door.
Let's go out back tonight.
Tonight, let go.
Life will still be there tomorrow.
Go out back.
Every day, Progressive does something that's, well, progressive. They have this real-time ticker on their website. It shows their rates for car insurance and the rates of their top competitors, like State Farm and Allstate. Right now on Progressive.com, you can see actual rates that people are getting. Sometimes Progressive Direct is the lowest. Sometimes they're not. If they're this helpful when you're shopping for car insurance, imagine how they'll be once you're a customer. Visit Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE today.
Available in most states and situations. Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio.
The damage suits against the Roman Catholic Church over pedophile priests have reached the Vatican. The Vatican is being sued, and a federal judge in Louisville, Kentucky says the cases may go forward. Attorney William McMurray represents three alleged victims.
The lawsuit is the first and only lawsuit in this country which has as its sole purpose holding the Vatican accountable for all the childhood sexual abuse committed by priests in this country.
The claim is the church knew what was going on and didn't stop it. In fact, moved pedophiles around from one parish to another to rug sweep it, and in the doing put more and more boys at risk. It's believed to be the world's first lottery for plastic surgery. Europa International in London has a monthly drawing. The winner receives £6,000. That's a little more than $17,000 toward the tummy tuck, breast enlargement, or facelift of their choice. Costs about $3 to buy a ticket. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Is your office in disarray? Can't find what you need? Well, Office Depot has great deals on file folders, binders, filing cabinets, shredders, and storage containers. Plus, we have over 800 calendars and planners to keep you up to date. So hurry in. Let Office Depot lend you a hand getting organized. Office Depot, taking care of business.
Whoa, Office Depot!
This is Charles Osgood of the Osgood File. Is orange juice part of your morning routine? I switched to Welch's 100% grape juice because it has twice the antioxidant power of orange juice. And you may have heard a diet naturally rich in antioxidants is good for you. Not only does drinking Welch's 100% grape juice help promote a healthy heart, but emerging research suggests it may help to protect memory and brain health as well. And it's nice to know Welch's is made from Concord grapes grown right here in America by Welch's farmer owners. So drink Welch's 100% grape juice for an unmistakably delicious way to add antioxidants to your diet. This is Charles Osgood. See you on the Osgood File.
Collins.
And the plot stinkins. This is one of those days when I wish we had about 6 hours of the Peter B. Collins show. We'll make do with the three we've got, and I'm glad you're listening. Our program is live, unscripted, unrehearsed, and originates in San Francisco. On our program today, oodles of reaction to the president's speech last night. The new way forward is a big step backward, in my opinion. His speech was riddled with hypocrisy, a kind of false sense of responsibility, and no recognition of reality. And that's not all. We'll get comments from Faz Shakir from the Center for American Progress coming up in just a moment. Also on today's program, Scott Dick will join us. He's our contributor on military and veterans affairs. He'll give us the point of view from the military. Also on today's show, we're going to talk about a great radio, well, a formerly great radio station in San Francisco, a place that I once called my radio home, KSFO, now captive to the hard right. And it's owned by ABC Radio. They recently cracked down on a blogger who was passing around audio clips of hate speech from this radio station, including Melanie Morgan, the one who called for the death penalty for Bill Keller of the New York Times. Well, they cracked down on the blogger instead of cracking down on their hate-filled hosts. We'll talk about that. Also on today's program, Matt Renner, our able producer, will join us, get behind the microphone, and share with us some of the reaction to the president's speech that he called from calls to Washington, D.C. And it's summarized in an article that you can read online at truthout.org. It was posted just a couple of hours ago. Look for Matt Renner's byline and let us know what you think. And also on today's program, we'll take a brief detour from the Bush speech and the so-called way forward in Iraq and get some reaction to Governor Schwarzenegger's grand vision for California. He's got some great ideas like health insurance for every Californian and a real major effort to reduce auto emissions by cleaning up our gasoline. On the flip side of it, though, he wants to cut welfare, increase fees at the university systems, and whack away at transportation as well. John Lehr, Democrat from Santa Cruz, who chairs the Assembly Budget Committee, will join us in about a half an hour to share his reaction to the proposals from the governor who's on crutches. Also, before we begin today, I want to acknowledge that on yesterday's program in our final hour, just before the president's speech, we spoke to Sam Farr. He is the Democratic congressman from California's Central Coast. He's a member of the Progressive and Out of Iraq caucuses in the House. And after our conversation, and I'm not taking credit for this, or at least not entirely, but we talked with him about the War Powers Resolution and whether or not this president has authority to continue the occupation of Iraq, much less add troops or invade Iran or attack Iran.
Sam Farr today introduced a very simple bill in the House. Public Law 107-243 was the authorization for the use of military force. Sam Farr's proposal would repeal that public law. And it's very simple. It reads, the authorization for use of military force against Iraq resolution of 2002 is hereby repealed. And part two, the President of the United States shall provide for the withdrawal of units and members of the United States Armed Forces deployed in Iraq as part of Operation Iraqi Freedom in a safe and orderly manner. Sam Farr, that's exactly what I have been waiting to see. And we're going to find out if you get some traction and just how much support there is from other members of the House.
And that is the war on terror. That is the war on terror. Yeah, that's the war on terror. Is the war on terror. We got a vacuum cleaner on sale. Oh, I'm so sorry, but we're out of that model. But I can probably get you out the door for $200 billion, more or less, probably more. The model we call preemptive war that leaves your floor dirtier than before.
Thank you, Roy Zimmerman. And now we welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show for the first time in the new year. Our correspondent at the Center for American Progress, co-editor of the Daily Progress Report, it's Faz Shakir. Hello, Faz.
Hey, Peter. Good to be with you.
Nice to talk with you again. I know you're a little bit under the weather and hope you get better fast. We're going to talk with you toward the end of the segment here about your recent journey to the Middle East for the Hajj. But first and foremost, I wanted to get your reaction to the president's speech. He is proposing Operation Together Forward, Revision 63, or is it 64?
I mean, I guess the main headlines coming out were, one, he took responsibility, which to some people was a shocker. And to me, I was questioning, well, who else is he going to blame, right? I mean, at this point in time, we've had so many mistakes in Iraq, and he says, well, if there have been mistakes made, then I take full responsibility. Well, of course you do. Who else are you going to blame?
But it's such a skanky...
We've got used to him blaming other people for so long that we want to credit him for taking responsibility at this point.
But it's a skanky, smarmy approach to personal responsibility, and the Republicans are the party the party of personal responsibility.
That's right. And the other thing, of course, and I'm sure this caught your eye as well, is that we're now engaging Iran in some sort of military confrontation. He said last night, I recently ordered the deployment of an additional carrier strike group to the region. And that must have, of course, sent off alarm bells in Iran. And then this morning we wake up to news that the U.S. had attacked an Iranian consulate in the northern region of Iraq. And so it seems like we're now going to take some sort of aggressive posture vis-a-vis Iran, which may be construed in that country as the initiation of a war.
Well, Faz, we've been following this issue with interest over the last 6 to 9 months, and it really does appear that this administration is hankering for a direct confrontation with Iran, and we know that they'd love to bomb the Natanz facility, some of the other areas that are either known to or suspected to be the sites of nuclear enrichment, centrifuges, and the other efforts that Iran is developing. And I find it really scary because, I look at the fundamentals of military strategy, and one of those fundamentals is that you never voluntarily open up a multi-front war. That's how, Russia lost, and you can go through the history books and identify the empires that failed when they thought they were so powerful that they could manage multiple conflicts at the same time.
Right, and it was just, a few days ago we learned that we're now striking Somalia. So it's not just opening up a front with Iran, it's opening up a front in northern Africa, and of course we're still fighting in Afghanistan, so this has all the signs of something terrible that's coming down the road. And it's interesting, President Bush talked about the Iraq study group in his speech last night, I think trying to convince the American public that he was somehow taking the road that had been recommended to him, which of course is false. But, of course, what's interesting is the Iraq study group urged a diplomatic surge with Iran and Syria, and that was what he utterly rejected and went in the complete opposite direction of engaging in this military confrontation with Iran. And so I think a lot of people have been whitewash to what President Bush is doing with his words last night.
Well, he paid lip service to all of this listening, consultation, and even acknowledged that he got a lot of advice to start withdrawing American forces, and, of course, he rejected every last word of it. And it is stunning that he felt, I'm searching for words here, but arrogance is the term that comes to mind, that he is so arrogant that he believes that he can ignore the generals, his father's key advisors, the opinion of the American public. Only 12% to 15% support the so-called surge concept. And his very weak support in the United States Senate, where he may not even get into double digits. And you've got people like Norm Coleman bailing on the administration. That's a bellwether, in my opinion.
Yeah, I kept a list today at the Senate Foreign Relations Committee hearing of Republicans who were coming out against Bush's Iraq escalation plan and those who were expressing concern. Just Republicans, I noted, Norm Coleman, John Sununu, George Voinovich, Lisa Murkowski, and David Vitter. And then, of course, we had Chuck Hagel, who probably made headlines, the best headlines out of the speech when he said that I think that the speech that the president gave last night represents the most dangerous foreign policy blunder in this country since Vietnam.
And while we're loving up the Republicans, there's an item in the progress report today that is a beautiful little factoid. Mitch McConnell, who claims that Congress can't place restrictions on funds for Iraq, voted to restrict Clinton's ability in Somalia. And I always need to underscore, Faz, that it was Bush 1 who inserted American forces in Somalia and left it for Bill Clinton to clean up the mess. And that
That's
produced
right.
the movie Black Hawk Down that everybody believes, you know, has led to the view of America as vulnerable and not willing to, quote-unquote, stay the course. And that was Bush 1's war.
That's right. That's right. And then, of course, Congress came in and this law that you're talking about, 103-139, limited the use of funding in Somalia. It was passed by Congress to try to pull our forces out of Somalia and constrain President Clinton's hand. And it's interesting, of course, that you noted that Senator Mitch McConnell, who's now attacking those of us who want to constrain President Bush's hand, he was the one who supported that move, and he also went on the Senate floor and said that Congress has the right and obligation to do this, to define the proper exit for the United States military out of Somalia. And that's all we're asking for now, out of Iraq.
Yeah. We're going to take a break and continue. Faz Shakir with me. If you'd like to subscribe free to the Daily Progress Report, just log on to progressreport.org. Give me your email address and it'll happen automatically. We'll continue with Faz in a moment. If you want to join the conversation, lines open right now, toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Just arrived. Carmel, a treasure. A first combination calendar history book with souvenir maps, archiving Carmel today. Entirely rendered in watercolors by Lisa Bryan, this brilliant calendar and book combo captures the charm of Carmel. A special gift, now available at Lisa's studio in Court of the Fountains and other bookstores and gift shops in Carmel. For more information, call Lisa Bryan at 626-5435, 626-5435.
The Billy Sunshine Show.
Billy Sunshine Show.
With P-Lar. With P-Lar.
Sunday at 3 o'clock, we're going to be doing something, something new, something different. Or we'll do the same old thing. Take your phone calls. One thing we know for sure, I'll have something to say. What? I don't know. I never know until I've said it. Find out what's the next thing to come out of my mouth.
The Billy Sunshine Show with P-Lar.
Sundays from 3 to 5. 3 to 5.
On AM 540. KRXA.
Now on the Peter B. Collins Show.
We got a president so bad, gotta be the worst we ever had. Got the job 'cause of his dad, now we're all in danger.
Oh, but it's getting worse.
He come around up to no good, broke the old treaties 'cause he could. Struts all around like a hood, got us in a world of trouble. Put him in a straitjacket, there's no doubt. Let the psychiatrist figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout. We'll all feel better in the morning.
Well, I didn't feel better this morning. And I'm waiting for the day that I do. That's Yikes McGee from Baltimore and A Bad President, it's called. We continue now with Faz Shakir, co-editor of the Progress Report, Center for American Progress in Washington. And Faz, you and the report properly noted that while every network broadcast the president's speech last night, some of them opted not to present Dick Durbin, the senator from Illinois, in the Democratic response. And I happened to, my TiVo only showed that ABC had the president's address when I set it up, so I recorded it on ABC, and boom, no response from Durbin. What's that all about?
Yeah, you had to watch many of the cable news outlets to see Durbin's response. Unfortunately, they didn't deem the Democratic response to be worthy of being aired, and there's no explanation for it. Certainly they had time because President Bush's speech, I think, ran about 20, 25 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there was ample time within their hour slot that they had reserved for the president to air Durbin's response. It's just typical of, I guess, our left-wing media not to air left-wing views.
Mm-hmm. And, Faz, I don't want to confuse you or anybody else as if I am, schizophrenic. But on the one hand, I believe that this president has committed impeachable offenses, and I believe that this war is so wrong that I'd like to see the funding cut off for it. At the same time, I respect the political minefields that the Democrats have to navigate on either of those fronts, whether we call it accountability or impeachment. I certainly want to know as many answers as we can get about how this mess was created, who really benefited, and who some of the secret participants and conspirators have been. And likewise, I want the earliest end to this conflict. But I sense that Rove is laying a trap for the Democrats, trying to set the stage to place the blame for the failure in Iraq on the Democrats, and that this is a last gasp to say, you know, still talking victory, still talking as if a democracy is going to pop up in Iraq. And I'm wondering if you or your colleagues have run through that scenario.
Well, you know, we had uncovered this article over the Christmas break that suggested that Cheney and had come to this determination that that Iraq had been lost and that they were going to simply ride out the storm and then hand it over to whoever wins the presidency in 2008. So that's one scenario, and I think that that sounds pretty plausible in terms of what the Bush administration may be thinking at this point. In terms of what you suggest, I think that's right. I think that now that the Democrats are in power, the administration is searching for all kinds of ways to make them share responsibility for what's happened. And if it requires trying to push the Democrats to pass restraints on the president that they can then use to say that the Democrats caused us to lose the war, just as the Democrats caused us to lose Vietnam, as they said back then.
Yeah, I call it the Curtis LeMay angle, because General LeMay was an Air Force general who said, you know, if they would have just let me nuke Vietnam, we would have won it.
Right, and Pat Buchanan, right, he's on MSNBC every night. He's still arguing, just as Fred Barnes does for the Weekly Standard and Fred Kagan at American Enterprise Institute. Their talking point is that Vietnam could have been won, except the American public and the Democrats wouldn't let them go forward with what needed to be done, the counterinsurgency plan.
Hogwash and balderdash.
Now they need to do it in Iraq.
Yeah. Faz, we got about 2 minutes remaining, and I know that you took a break and traveled with your family to observe the Hajj, which is the, I think, highest observation in the annual Muslim calendar. Tell us a little about it. Did you go to Mecca and Medina?
I did. It was, you know, you get packed in with 3 million Muslims who come from around the world. And so it's a very interesting, eye-opening experience. I tried to talk politics with as many people as I could. And, you know, I usually go in liberal circles around here, and it's a very anti-Bush crowd. But then when I got there, it's amazing how anti-Bush they are. You know, it's the one word that I could certainly communicate with anyone from any region of the earth of any language. I could say Bush, and they would know exactly what I meant, and they would have some sort of symbol or something to say about Bush. And it was never positive.
In Arabic, how do you say Bush sucks?
You know, I talked with a lot of them, and one guy told me Bush has the face of a donkey. You know, and he tried to explain to me how much he hated him. In fact, I was in one surrounding where people began to pray for Bush's destruction. There's so much anger there. I mean, mm-hmm. they feel it so deep that there is this religious war. That's the other thing that I don't think we get here, is that over there they really feel that there's a war on religion going on, mm-hmm. and that Bush hates and fears Muslims, and so in return, they over there fear and are angered about Bush.
Well, and on that score, I'm glad you brought it up, because last year at this time, the Hajj was roiled by the cartoons from Denmark, and that whole, you know, scandal imbroglio that took over the Hajj. Was there anything similar this year?
No, there were no problems, except, you know, there's only one piece of news that I heard when I was there. I was cut off largely from the news cycle, and there was only one piece of news that I learned, and that was that Saddam had been hung.
Mm.
And when that news had spread, there was universal, widespread anger and condemnation about how it had been done, because it was done on the annual Eid celebration, which is one of the holiest and festive days of the Muslim calendar, and they had rushed to do it right before the Eid had set in, and so there was a lot of anger about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's going to dissipate anytime soon.
Yeah, Faz, fascinating. Thank you for joining us, and thanks for telling us about that.
Thank you, Peter.
Hope you feel better. We'll talk next week. Faz Shakir.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
This is Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to prunetarealestate.com.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
"We're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service."
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2007 Saturn View Green Line, a midsize five-passenger SUV with hybrid technology. This is a vehicle that General Motors can really brag about, especially the sticker price and operating costs. The power plant features a 2.4-liter four-cylinder gas engine mated with an electric motor-generator combo, and a pretty cool gizmo that I don't understand adjusts the mix of gas and electric power for fuel savings. Not only that, my demo's an all-wheel drive and passed our hill climb test with ease. It's roomy inside, has a good accessory package, and attracted many compliments. Test drive the Saturn View before you buy a Honda, Toyota, or Ford hybrid. By the numbers, the 2007 Saturn View Green Line Hybrid gets about 27 miles in the city, 32 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $23,000.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Enough commercials for now. It's time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show. What do you say we check in on Sacramento?
Who can take California? Set it on its ear. Stop it in its tracks and take it out of gear. The girly man.
The girly man.
The girly man can.
The girly man can.
Girly man can, cause he messes with my mind and makes my world a pain in the you know what. Who can take a budget?
Who can take a budget?
Put it all askew.
Put it all askew.
Bow to special interest and a lobbyist or two. The girly man.
The girly man.
the girly man can.
Ah, that's Loose Bruce Kerr with No Apologies to Sammy Davis Jr., the girly man song, done to the tune of the Candyman song. And we pay close attention to that second verse there about taking the budget and turning it on its ear. And here's the man who gets to try to write the budget and get it onto some sort of footing. John Laird is chair of the California Assembly's Budget Committee. He's the Democrat who represents Santa Cruz and Monterey and surrounding environs. Welcome back to our program, John Laird.
Hey, Peter. It's great to be here.
How are you, Mr. Chairman?
I'm doing great, although it's been a pretty raucous few days already coming back.
Well, you didn't have a ski accident or any kind of surgery on your femur, though.
No, and that's just sort of a low threshold for feeling okay. It's funny because I had this experience earlier this week where Rush Limbaugh used comments I made on his radio show.
Oh, you lucky guy.
And then the governor called and thanked me for what I had said, and my head was just spinning.
Yes, that's the kind of attention you don't really expect or probably desire.
Not at all, and it's very funny because I am doing my best. We have 36 new state assembly members out of 80.
Yeah.
And the ones that I really don't know are the 11 new Republicans. So I'm making this effort to go do a half an hour meet and greet appointment with each. And I am in an appointment with this brand new assembly member when his receptionist knocks on the door wide-eyed and said, the governor is on the phone for Mr. Laird. So I take it in this Republican assembly member's office, and I turned to him and said, you know, this just doesn't happen all the time. This is not a regular occurrence. And when I came back to my office, my staff should have said, oh, him again? I just talked to him. Why is he bothering me?
Yeah, won't he leave me alone?
Yeah, he's following me everywhere.
Well, a more credible outlet, the all-news station in San Francisco, KCBS, did carry a soundbite of yours in reaction to the State of the State message, and I heard that. So that's a little more, I think, in range than being a victim of the Rush Limbaugh soundbite attack. And, of course, he'll play your clip and denounce you and find all kinds of way to mischaracterize you, and you never have any chance to speak up and defend yourself. That's how it works in Rush's world.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Well,
so, John Laird, let's first talk about the vision that the governor has articulated, first in his inaugural speech and then in the State of the State message. And after we get through the vision thing, we'll see just how much of it is grounded in reality, because you're the guy who runs the numbers and understands the budget here. We're up over $100 billion now. And to the governor's credit, I was very impressed with his call for health coverage, health insurance coverage for every Californian, including non-citizens or, as the Republicans like to call them, illegal immigrants. I also think that it's impressive that he's continuing to focus on climate change, global warming, calling for a reduction in the carbon emissions from the mixtures of our gasoline, and also tweaking the White House about its ineffective and, kind of denial approach to those issues. We'll talk about welfare cuts and increases in proposed increases in higher education costs and cuts to transportation. But just first and foremost on the vision part of it, it is kind of stunning coming from this man, isn't it?
It is. And no matter how hard it is, you have to give him credit for it.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing viscerally was sitting on the assembly floor when he did the State of the State, and both houses are sitting there, when he talked about expanding health care access to every Californian and what it meant, we were the ones that were applauding wildly, and there was very tepid response from the Republicans
mm-hmm.
On the health care. And I give them a lot of credit on the undocumented part. And the interesting thing is when you're just trying to get health care to undocumented kids, they're only, I think, 15% of the total 800,000 kids in California that don't have health coverage, and they're entitled to emergency room care. They're in the schools to where, you know, they're with together with all kids. And in the people of California, in polls show that a majority of them comfortably believe you should cover all kids regardless of immigration status. It's the one place that that immigration isn't as divisive an issue among the general public as it is on other service issues, mm-hmm. and yet it is the banner of the legislative Republicans who really want to politicize what is a public health issue in a way that they're out of the mainstream of where the majority of Californians are. And I give the governor a lot of credit for taking the lead on that and being willing to stand up to virtually every single member of his party in the state legislature.
Now, I agree with you there, and I don't think I'm going to be lulled into a love fest with Arnold, but I will give him credit where I think it is due. Let me now offer some fair and balanced commentary on this health care issue, because this is the governor who led the charge to repeal John Burton's health care proposal that was SB 2.
And a subsequent ballot measure.
Right. Well, he led the move to repeal, right? The SB 2 was passed, and then it was sent to the voters, and it passed, and then Arnold led the charge to repeal it. Do I have that right?
That's correct, because it was signed under Gray Davis.
Yeah. And then Sheila Kuehl, on her way out due to term limits last year, had a bill much more watered down than SB 2, but attempting to move toward full coverage for every Californian, and the governor vetoed it. So with that history, how have things changed so dramatically since his re-coronation in November that he is now ready to fix this problem?
I think, and I would even add one thing, he vetoed the children's health care bill 2 years ago and did not support our effort to extend it in the budget last year, and has turned around totally on that as well. I think he found it increasingly hard to veto all these bills with no constructive alternative. It just got worse and worse, and he had committed when he ran in the recall to ensuring all kids for health care in California. And so it put him in a position of wanting to do something, and once you actually have the political corner he's backed himself into, which is wanting to do something, but under the guise of no new taxes by his definition, it limits your options of what to do, and you have to figure out a way that almost everybody but the taxpayers pick up a small piece in some way. And he designed this interlocking system that if one or two pieces drop out because of the trade-offs and how it's financed, the whole thing falls apart. And yet, you know, we in the Assembly among the Democrats have a problem with his individual mandate just because of what it means financially to people that are in the lower economic realm. But with that exception, almost every single piece of it is not unreasonable, and if we could figure out a way around that, we could probably get to a place. And I just, once he had to move and backed himself on the corner into the corner, he put together a framework that isn't a bad starting place, and where he's going to have to stand up to the special interests, and that's going to make for a fascinating 4 or 5 months.
Yeah, well, I agree with you there. Now, explain to me why the mandates are so problematic, because as I've seen it used in Massachusetts, essentially, people who fail to get health care coverage and then run afoul of this provision would simply lose a tax credit on their tax return. That doesn't seem so onerous to me.
Yeah, but I think what the governor's proposing is a little stronger than that, because it's to have health insurance or face tax penalties, which are actually unspecified in his proposal. And so in Massachusetts, the tax penalties, you just don't get the credit because you didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
In California, it appears that he's proposing a stronger penalty.
Essentially a fine?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
But it's not specified. So.
But can't you, I feel like that's one of the things that you and the legislature can modify as this moves through committee and onto the floors. And, again, I don't find it so onerous to say that you'll be denied a tax credit if you fail to comply with this law and get health insurance.
Well, I agree. We can modify it. And, of course, in this case, we would want to. The question is that if you're really trying to get to expand access and at the beginning have a big loophole in however it's constructed, and then you're to the point that you still have the hidden tax of all the rest of us that have any kind of health insurance paying extra because we're still covering the uncovered, you haven't really moved very far forward. And I am not proposing doing the individual mandate with that. It's just I would like to see us move to some system that does cover everybody. And I, of course, am an advocate of single payer.
Yeah, me
but,
too.
And a co-author. But if we, can't do that, something that doesn't penalize the poor and get everybody health coverage might be an alternative. And the interesting thing is he's proposed a 2% fee or tax on health care revenues.
Please don't say tax.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there was a great question of him when he unveiled the budget yesterday about how has his definition of tax changed.
Yeah.
And a 4% one on hospitals.
Right.
And if we're raising the Medi-Cal rates dramatically to get them almost to where the Medicare rates are for reimbursements, most physicians and hospitals will more than make it back, and those physicians that only take private pay at the upper income levels would actually have a flat-out payment that wouldn't be, offset. And there are some problems if you're familiar with the Kaiser health system. Somebody like Kaiser then as a hospital gets or a health plan gets a 4% charge but really doesn't get any economic benefit out of the plan. So it's just a dun to them. But at the same time, he raises Medi-Cal rates and he requires insurers to have to take everybody regardless of pre-existing condition, and he caps the amount of money they can make. So that is like monumental as a starting point in talking about it.
Yeah. Now, one other thing in terms of the financing of this, it's going to cost about $12 billion. And according to Kim Belshea, who was interviewed on the PBS NewsHour the other night, almost a full third of it is wishful funding from the federal government.
Yeah, I'm sure she didn't use the term wishful, but it would qualify for existing programs at sort of existing, ways that reimbursements are done. There's a question that they are really out assuring everybody that the money would be there. There are some big questions, not just because of the imbalance of the federal budget, but the so-called, and I don't even know what the acronym stands for, SCHIP program, that for 10 years has provided a boost from the federal government primarily to kids in health care, expires this September. And if it's not renewed, that's a disaster to children's coverage plans. And if it is renewed, a few tweaks make things work really well for California. A few downward tweaks might make some things virtually impossible, even with its continuance. And so there is a big reliance on where the federal government goes. And, it's tough because we're excited that there's a new Democratic majority. We know they can't do everything. We know that George Bush won't necessarily sign what they send him.
And we know they've spent a lot of the money and committed a lot of it down the road. We got to take a break. We'll return in just a moment. John Laird is with us. He's chair of the California Assembly Budget Committee, Democratic assemblyman from Santa Cruz and surrounding areas. And we'll continue in just a moment, analyze some of the key portions of the proposed budget for California from the Schwarzenegger administration. That's next, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
The day
12-step talk uncensored.
Laugh and run away.
Saturdays, 4 to 5 p.m.
Like a child.
12-step talk uncensored. It's about time.
Through a meadow line toward a closing door.
Vote means that our investigation turned up nothing.
Could somebody testify lying before a grand jury doesn't mean he's involved.
And it's flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men are three women to me. Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you've got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. You've got to catapult the propaganda.
Where go?
Tom Hartman. Tom DeLay had a blog, TomDeLay.com. After 75 minutes, he shut down his blog.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
But during the 75 minutes when his blog was wide open, here are the first responses. It's good that you're no longer a representative. The stench of the 109th Congress will take a long time to fix. The next one says, didn't we already stick a fork in your butt and decide you're done? These are the nice ones.
Tom Hartman, weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. Hold tight to your wallet and credit card. We're about to dive into some of the numbers in Governor Schwarzenegger's budget. John Laird, assemblyman from Santa Cruz and the chair of the California Assembly's Budget Committee, continues with us. And, John, I always like to look at the funny money in these budgets. And there are a couple of billion dollars here in money that the governor can't really expect to book. $500 million from Indian tribes. I own a sailboat, and there's some yacht loophole that's worth $200 million. Yeah. $100 million from corrections reform. I mean, Bob Sillin, who is the guy appointed to run the health care system in the prisons, is probably going to ask you for much more than $100 million in the coming budget year. Shaving $55 million by cutting aid to the homeless mentally ill. And about $500 million from welfare. So that, when you couple it with proposed increases at UC of 7% and the state university system of 10%, wow. Now we see how he wants to pay for some of these visionary items.
Well, you know, one thing that is always slightly misleading about a proposed budget is it bears no resemblance to what the governor even supports in May or in June when we adopt it, and you have to do a budget 6 months out before the revenues are clear. And so you do a bunch of things that are smoke and mirrors or blowing smoke, and sometimes the question is how big are the list of things that are the smoke and mirrors, and compared to past years, they're smaller. But you just identified exactly what they are. We didn't adopt the Indian gaming compacts because they don't take care of protections for workers and some other things. and he proposes $500 million in revenue from compacts that haven't even been adopted and won't be unless he renegotiates them. And he puts money in an increase for the University of California and CSU, but it's predicated on fees going up. And he takes about $1 billion of money that should go to transit systems and diverts it to other places, and cuts CalWORKs, which is really the program that puts people on public assistance back to work, by almost $500 million. And it's exactly as you say. You start to string those together, and they get to a certain level of what might be unrealistic, not even counting him overestimating revenues, which he might have done by a bit in...
Well, and on the one hand, to expand health care coverage, hopefully to make it universal, and the identifying kids, you know, as the most vulnerable group that really needs health care, when you cut welfare, you're hammering those same kids.
Exactly, and some of us have had some black humor about, on one day, proposing to take away food and shelter for kids, and thank God you'll give them health care on the next day because they'll need it if they're homeless or don't have enough food. And the other contradiction is that there's money in there to implement the greenhouse gases bill that we passed last year, while at the same time you're pulling money away from transit, which is the best alternative for getting people out of their single-occupancy cars.
And then the trade-off there is, about $25 million for global warming issues and $1 billion that he wants to cut from transit. That does not make sense.
That's exactly right, and it's a big hole. He does this one thing where he takes $600 million that now goes in the state budget to home-to-school transportation through the school districts, and moves it out of school funding and into the transit funding. So he gives what transits need for operating assistance and adds the school transportation to it. And I just think that's a proposal that won't fly, but it's $600 million we have to find to fix.
There's another $600 million item, which is a voluntary additional repayment to the bondholders from the revenue bonds that he had to issue to paper over the deficit that he inherited. And this is a voluntary payment that is not due. Now, I like the idea of paying down debt and avoiding interest, but to, you know, pay Wall Street in order to deny mothers of young children public assistance payments, I just think that's ass backwards.
You must have read my comment in the Sacramento Bee, because I basically said it's a choice between Wall Street and the kids, and usually with us, kids take precedence.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is I appreciate him wanting to pay down the bond sooner. He would pay them off 6, 7, 8, 9 years earlier, and they'd be all paid off in 2009, way ahead of schedule. But conversely, it's in part because he proposed issuing $30 billion more of bonds, some for schools, but for dams and prisons and court and jail facilities. And if those are non-starters, why would we pay down the bonds early to create capacity for that and cut kids to be able to do that? And, and my guess is that some of those bonds might work, but we're really going to want to protect the kids, and how can we make that all add up? He did the dams, and one of the interesting things about proposing two new dams in California is that he used climate change as an argument, which is very interesting, that if climate change is going to melt snowpacks and do heavy flooding early, that there needs to be a different response. And yet it seems to be the same people that have had the same agenda for dams for 40 years just suddenly discovering climate change is the rationale to do it.
Well, and they're promoting nuclear power as a way to reduce global warming, too. Final question in just a few seconds. Will there be a Google millionaire windfall this year that'll make some of these cuts unnecessary?
Geez, I would hope so, but I'm not necessarily optimistic. Lightning has to strike for that to happen 2 years in a row.
All right, John Laird, thanks for your work. Thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
That's John Laird. He chairs the Assembly Budget Committee in Sacramento, Democrat from Santa Cruz. Coming up next, Scott Dick will join us to talk about the president's speech last night, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Rapp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. Harsh reaction to the new Iraq strategy.
This is the craziest, dumbest plan I've ever seen or heard of in my life.
Oil prices dropped 15% since the first of the year.
That's a big move in 10 days.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. On the day after the president's big speech, support is scarce on Capitol Hill. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss begins our coverage.
Top administration officials, including Defense Secretary Robert Gates, came to Congress to sell the new Iraq plan.
This is, I think, the pivot point in Iraq.
They didn't get far. Democratic Senator Chris Dodd said this is a policy that's failed repeatedly before.
If the president did grasp, I think, the sad extent of that failure, I sincerely doubt he would have ordered yet more troops into Iraq.
Republican Senator Chuck Hagel called sending more troops into a civil war a dangerous foreign policy blunder.
It's, first of all, in my opinion, morally wrong. It's tactically, strategically, militarily wrong.
And the consensus in Congress seems to be that it won't work. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
I'm Peter Mayer at Fort Benning, Georgia. President Bush has used this home of the Army infantry to deliver a hard sell of his revised Iraq policy. It was a clear response to critics of the plan.
It's important for the American people to know this is new. This is something different.
And it's a mission that will take some of the soldiers here back to Iraq for a fourth time, preparing the nation for what he described as a long struggle. Mr. Bush said his new strategy would not bring immediate results. Peter Mayer, CBS News, with the president at Fort Benning, Georgia.
The troop surge will put even more demands on National Guard troops. The Pentagon has dropped the 24-month limit on the time citizen soldiers can be required to serve on active duty. President Bush warned last night that he won't tolerate interference by Iran and Syria. Today, in the northern Iraqi city of Erbil, U.S.-led forces raided an Iranian diplomatic post, seized computers and documents, and detained six Iranians. Now this.
Let's kick back for the moment. Let your worries drift away, cause here we're living for today. Let's go out back tonight.
Let go of the day. Go out back tonight, where fresh R.E. Turner is seasoned, seared, and served on a batter crisp remain. Start the new year fresh. Leave your worries at the door.
Let's go out back tonight.
Tonight, let go.
Life would still be there tomorrow.
Go out back.
Is your office in disarray? Can't find what you need? Well, Office Depot has great deals on file folders, binders, filing cabinets, shredders, and storage containers. Plus, we have over 800 calendars and planners to keep you up to date. So hurry in. Let Office Depot lend you a hand getting organized. Office Depot, taking care of business.
Oh, Office Depot!
The oil price plunge continued today with benchmark crude closing below $52 a barrel. That's down from $62 at the beginning of the year. And analyst David Purcell says gasoline prices are sure to follow.
A $10 a barrel drop in crude, that's pretty good. I mean, that's on the order of 12 or 15%. So you should see Roughly a similar savings at the pump here, certainly within the next 2 or 3 weeks.
At this point, it's largely symbolic, but House Democrats have fulfilled another campaign promise by voting to lift restrictions on federal funding for embryonic stem cell research.
The arguments are familiar. Democrat Rahm Emanuel of Illinois said stem cells can help treat debilitating diseases.
The potential on Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, ALS, diabetes. Here we can come up finally with a cure.
But Republicans like Robert Aderholt of Alabama are worried about the embryo.
This bill unnecessarily opens the door to research that sacrifices one life for the potential help of another.
The yeas are 253.
Democrats fell 37 votes short of what they need to override an expected veto. Howard Ehrenstein, CBS News, Washington.
A verdict in Gulfport, Mississippi today could have major implications for the insurance industry and for homeowners whose claims have been denied on the grounds that Hurricane Katrina was a flood event. More from CBS News correspondent Peter King.
You won't hear much from the winning attorney.
We were very pleased with today's verdict.
Jack Denton says anything more than that could jeopardize other pending cases against State Farm. Denton's clients sued after the company denied their damage claim. A judge awarded them almost $250,000 in damages. The jury added $2.5 million more in punitive damages. State Farm spokesman Phil Supple says the company is surprised and disappointed.
We are evaluating our next steps and feel that an appeal of this decision is likely.
Peter King, CBS News.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Let's kick back for the moment. Let your worries drift away, because here we're living for today. Let's go out back tonight.
Let go of the day. Go out back tonight, where fresh R.E. Turner is seasoned, seared, and served on a bed of crisp remain. Start the new year fresh. Leave your worries at the door.
Let's go out back tonight.
Tonight, let go.
Life will still be there tomorrow.
Go out back.
Every day, Progressive does something that's, well, progressive. They have this real-time ticker on their website. It shows their rates for car insurance and the rates of their top competitors, like State Farm and Allstate. Right now on Progressive.com, you can see actual rates that people are getting. Sometimes Progressive Direct is the lowest. Sometimes they're not. If they're this helpful when you're shopping for car insurance, imagine how they'll be once you're a customer. Visit Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE today.
Available in most states and situations. Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio.
We launch another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 6 minutes past the hour, and I'm your humble host, Peter B. This hour, it's our veterans and military affairs expert, Scott Zick. Well, the president gave us a talk last night. Was it all talk? Just talk, 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 talk? I think so. A lot of empty rhetoric, a lot of the same premises. Yeah, democracy is going to flower in Iraq if we just stay there another 40, 50, 60 years, right? Every week, we're joined by Scott Dick. He was serving in the Marines, retired from the Army as a major, and he is our designated contributor on military and veterans affairs. We turn to him because, well, he actually went into the military, so in that view, he knows much more than I do about the operations and attitudes there. Scott, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you, Peter?
I'm kind of recovering from Bush's speech. I didn't expect anything from it, so it's not as if my expectations were somehow not met or exceeded. But it just is stunning to me that he really is staying the course. He's dressed up the language. He's been through this lengthy public dithering process where he consulted, a whole range of people and ignored every last one of them.
Well, it's interesting, Peter. It's like reaching into the refrigerator and pulling out something covered in plastic, and you can't quite see through the plastic, but when you open it up, it stinks just like something bad. And I was blown away by the absolute mediocrity of that presentation. Just blown away. It was amazing. But, you know, we can't forget where it came from. It came directly from the American Enterprise Institute.
Well, it was interesting. You know, there was no foreplay. It wasn't, good evening, my fellow Americans. Hey, how you doing? He just launched right into this speech, and he was extremely sober. He appeared to be nervous at some points and didn't convey any of the kind of swagger or resolve that he has in the past, even as recently as the campaign just a couple of months back.
Well, Peter, I think what you saw and what I think the American people saw was a kid in a timeout chair. I think he just was extremely angry. I think we've misinterpreted that as being subdued or somehow contrite. He's just angry that the American people are so stupid that they can't get that this so-called war on terror is all roads lead to Baghdad, and if we send 20,000 more troops there, then we'll cure this global war, the GWAT.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, he didn't use the term surge, which I thought was interesting because it appeared that that word had been market-tested, focus-grouped, and that it had been approved by Frank Luntz. Instead, he talked about the need to help the Iraqis. And I don't think there are very many Americans who are fooled by this who think that anything that we can do would actually help the Iraqis at this point, particularly military forces. Everybody knows that there is not a military solution to the U.S. problems in Iraq.
Well, anybody that has a brain, and I noticed that he didn't have anything that came from our war college system. We have a whole system of war colleges in the United States that are staffed with, PhDs, the brilliant thinkers that train our nation's military leaders. And yet he dug into the American Enterprise Institute, just a bunch more people saying yes. And I'm not surprised at the outcome. And it's not even a surge. He's holding over the troops and prematurely deploying the other ones.
Right.
Now, Peter,
yeah.
I don't know about you, but this has grave consequences for the families. They've already talked about the Minnesota National Guard being held over until July. They're supposed to go home in March. And the pre-deployment or the premature deployment, all those people who thought that they were home, they're going to be home for another couple months, got launched into Iraq. And there are a lot of sad family members out there and a lot of sad soldiers, too.
Well, I share that concern, and it also appears that in order to maintain the troop levels at roughly 160,000, they want to bust through the rule that National Guard units can only be called for 2 years out of five, and it appears that reservists and National Guard members will bear the heaviest brunt of this brilliant new strategy from the White House.
Yeah, see, and this is another thing. People keep saying it's strategy. This is not a increasing the troops at a certain target or a certain military goal is not a strategy. It's just a tactic. It's a change in tactic, and not a very bright one or innovative one at that. It's like, okay, we've thrown so many troops at the siege of Baghdad. It's not working, so guess what? Let's change it. Let's throw more troops at it. And it's not a change in strategy. We don't know what he's doing secretly, but it sure be nice if he would have said, you know what, I can't tell you everything we're doing, but we're going to kick some booty, and this is how we're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
He sort of talked about Iran and Syria. But, Peter, now, I'm confused. If these Syrians are the hated opposition, they're part of the axis of evil, why are we rendering suspects to them?
Well, because it was convenient for us. First of all, Syria is not a technical member of the Axis of Evil. It was Iraq, Iran, and North Korea. And Syria is lumped in with Iran, I think largely because of their support for Hezbollah and a few other issues. But to me, that appears to be the driver there. And it seems clear from various sources, including Colonel Sam Gardner, retired from the Air Force, who was on with us on Monday, that there is a juggernaut here on the part of the White House. They're oblivious to American public opinion about Iraq, and they want to build on that success by launching some sort of military confrontation or attack on Iran.
Well, the second carrier group, we've been hearing rumors about that for a while, and then he said, I've sent another second carrier group into the Persian Gulf. I'm confused. I'm just confused by that. If the target's not Iran, if it's Iran, it's clear. But he didn't talk about attacking Iran.
Well, let's. I actually have this queued up here. As long as we're talking about Iran and Syria, let's listen to these two paragraphs from the president's speech last night.
Succeeding in Iraq also requires defending its territorial integrity. and stabilizing the region in the face of extremist challenges. This begins with addressing Iran and Syria. These two regimes are allowing terrorists and insurgents to use their territory to move in and out of Iraq. Iran is providing material support for attacks on American troops. We will disrupt the attacks on our forces.
Well, and in fact, we attacked the Iranian embassy in northern Iraq in the Kurdish-controlled area earlier today, which could lead to a provocation. Some of us remember sensitivity about the safety of embassies, like the one in Tehran just a few decades back.
Well, consulate, I think, is what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, that doesn't bode well. It's so frustrating because you just want to shake them and say, "What are you guys thinking?"
Yeah.
Now, if they're running a cell out of there, I mean, how many spying operations are run out of embassies all over the planet?
Well, like ours.
And we've just
decided to move a guy named Ryan Crocker, who has been our ambassador to Pakistan, over to Baghdad. And I have no information that confirms what I'm about to say, but I still feel very comfortable offering it. I took a look at his resume, and he appears very much to be a spook. He has been billeted at major embassies like Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, and others, where those embassies are primarily just the local office for the Central Intelligence Agency. Here's a little more of Bush's comments from last night about Iran and Syria.
Support from Iran and Syria, and we will seek out and destroy the networks providing advanced weaponry and training to our enemies in Iraq. We're also taking other steps to bolster the security of Iraq and protect American interests in the Middle East. I recently ordered the deployment of an additional carrier strike group to the region. We will expand intelligence sharing and deploy Patriot air defense systems to reassure our friends and allies. We will work with the governments of Turkey and Iraq to help them resolve problems along their border. And we will work with others to prevent Iran from gaining nuclear weapons and dominating the region.
So these are really the money quotes, I believe, from the speech last night, because most of the rest, I think, can be dismissed as ineffective, mostly a PR stunt to try to buck up the Maliki government and pray that they'll actually bring Muqtada al-Sadr's militias under control. I think that is impossible under the current circumstances. So this focus on Iran and Syria came about two-thirds of the way through the speech, and to me, it was the most significant element, Scott.
Well, one of the things, it's very significant, but one of the things that there's a mini minefield that he just wandered into is our NATO ally, Turkey, and the Kurdish problem, and I put that in parentheses, because that part, the Kurd part of Iraq is the only part where Americans aren't dying.
Yep.
So now we're going to get between the Kurds and the Turks.
He said, we will work with the governments of Turkey and Iraq to help them resolve problems along their border.
Well, what were we doing last year, Peter? I don't understand. We weren't working with them. We just told them, hey, handle it. The Communist Party in the Kurds, I think it's called the PPK,
yeah,
has been killing Turks for a long time. I don't know if it's going to stop anytime soon. They're running across the border. This is an issue. This is the one reason the Turks had so strongly tried to keep NATO and us from meddling in Iraq before.
Well, it's why they, even with a $5 billion payoff offered, would not support the U.S. invasion of Iraq by letting us move troops through Turkey. We got to take a break. We'll continue with Scott Dick in just a moment. If you have a question or comment, we welcome your call. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. You can also email me, peter@peterbcollins.com. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Every every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Postgraduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's the back cooking? Something up with me.
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right, dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
For your first look at Central Coast traffic, we do have an injury accident in Boulder Creek. This is Highway 236, just west of Highway 9. The entire roadway is blocked by a head-on collision. CHP is on scene working on clearing that out. In Carmel, Highway 1 at Carmel Hills Drive, we have an accident cleared over to the right-hand shoulder. Truck and another vehicle involved in that, CHP on scene, taking a report before they clear all the way out of there. Highway 17, both directions through Santa Cruz Mountains, checking in, stalling, accident-free. In Wattsville, a little bit of road work you should be aware of. Highway 152 between Highway 1 and Beverly Drive North. Caltrans is going to be doing roadway upgrades in various areas, and this road work is going to actually continue into the fall. This report is brought to you by Mancini Sleep World. Save big during Mancini Sleep World's truckload mattress sale. They'll beat anyone's advertised price by 10% or your mattress is free. Call 800-64-SLEEP. I'm Dio with traffic, KRXA 540.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you'd like to join the conversation, it's 888-5-PETER-B.
Those who start wars, never fight them. Those who fight wars, they never like them. Tell you why, no. They only want to tell you lies, no. Never ever gonna
tell you why, no. They only want to tell you lies. It's time.
We continue now with Scott Dick. He's our contributor on military and veterans issues. And Scott, just during the break there, I opened an email that took me to a blog written by a guy in Washington named Stephen Clemens, and he seems credible. He's written some op-ed pieces that have been published in major publications. He edits a thing called the Washington Note, and it reads this way today. Washington intelligence, military, and foreign policy circles are abuzz with speculation that the president, yesterday or in recent days, sent a secret executive order to the Secretary of Defense and Director of CIA to launch military operations against Syria and Iran. The president may have started a new secret informal war against these nations without the consent of Congress or any broad discussion with the country. And this blogger cites the same two paragraphs that we just played from the president's speech last night in the preceding segment. He goes on, adding fuel to the speculation is that U.S. forces today raided the Iranian consulate in Arbil, Iraq, we talked about that, and detained five Iranian staff members. And given that Iran showed little deference to the political sanctity of the U.S. embassy 29 years ago, it would be ironic for Iran to hyperventilate much about the raid. But what is disconcerting is that some are speculating the Bush has decided to heat up military engagement with Iran and Syria, and that this attack on the consulate may be what's called a casus belli, a cause for war for further American action. So this still, of course, is very early and clearly speculative, but it does jibe with what we heard the president say last night and with the movement of the Stennis Group, which we've known about for a couple of weeks.
Peter, this is it's ominous because this, when you attack somebody, it makes them angry. And can you imagine how many volunteers both those countries are going to have for to go into Iraq to kill Americans? So if he thought that this was going to be something that would cow the Syrians or the Iranians, he just doesn't get it. Still does not get it.
Well, he seems oblivious to the consequences, and we've seen the consequences of his obliviousness vis-a-vis Iraq. And Iran is a much stronger country with much more influence in the Arab world, not nearly as isolated as Saddam was, and they're very well armed, have an air force and a navy. Saddam had neither of those.
And the sympathy, you know, we trained those Iranian pilots and tankers and all those people in the United States for years and years and years. I'm old enough to remember when Iranian pilots were all over the United States flying.
Mm-hmm.
So they know our tactics. They have some of our best equipment, or had. You know, it's old now,
yeah.
But these are not stupid people. And it's not a committee of in Iraq that are creating the. You know, so I don't think. I think they think it's like a committee that says, okay, we're going to attack this target, and this we're going to attack this target, and now he's got them really scared, so they're going to stop the attacks because we're sending in more troops.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard some commentary that said they're going to do the insurgents are going to do what they did before. They're just going to melt away. That's the beauty of guerrilla war, and they'll come back to killing each other after the Americans have moved on.
They'll cut and run, according to the original meaning of that phrase. Let's take some calls. Dave's on the line from Eureka. Hi, Dave.
Hi there, Peter, and thank you. Scott, there are those of us that everything we've been told about this war is not the truth. None of it's checked out. It's all lies. It is a fact, however, that some special interests are profiting greatly from this war, and those of us that connect those two dots are taken down a pretty dark alley. But I wanted to let you know also that since that talk last night, spontaneous demonstrations in large numbers are popping up all over the place. We just had one big one here today in Eureka, and I'll be going to another one in about a half hour over in Arcata.
And in Salinas tonight, Josh told us yesterday, there is a vigil or a rally near the post office just outside of Sam Farr's office. And we told you about Sam Farr's proposed legislation to repeal the authorization that permitted Bush to send American forces to Iraq. So it's all very interesting. Dave, thank you for the call. And if anybody else knows about events that you want to mention to our listeners, feel free to give us a call. Up next, we go to Scottsdale. Alex is on the line. Hello, Alex.
Hello, Peter. There was an editorial that Mr. McCain doctrine that's following along, you know, in bootstep with Mr. B. he wrote in basically a quick synopsis of what he said to the editor is, you know, Congress committed us, the casualties are going to be high, we're going to do surge. And he believes, from what he's seen, that he thinks that this stability will be created. And I just don't see that happening.
I think you're right, and I think Senator McCain is way wrong. And if he thinks that this is a way that he's going to successfully run for president in 2 years, I think he's getting some really bad advice. Alex, we don't have a great connection with you, but I thank you for the call and bringing that forward today. And if you'd like to join our conversation, we'll take more calls in the next segment, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We'll continue with Scott Dick right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant at Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's a Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
And now, Plan B. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. President Bush has joined that select club of wartime presidents who have had to convince a skeptical nation to stick it out during a difficult time. They say pretty much the same things. They say it's better to fight the enemy there than here.
As far away as possible from our own home ground.
They say we expect the country we're fighting to help itself.
The main burden of preserving their freedom must be carried out by them, by the South Vietnamese themselves.
They say we cannot leave until the job is done.
The issue, very simply, is this. Shall we leave Vietnam in a way that, by our own actions, consciously turns the country over to the communists?
And although they never give us a timetable, they always assure us that the mission is moving forward, as President Bush himself did a year ago.
We will see the Iraqi military gaining strength and confidence, and the democratic process moving forward. As these achievements come, it should require fewer American troops to accomplish our mission.
Every one of these presidents had critics who said, what if it doesn't work? What's Plan B? Well, many of you are too young to recognize the voices on all of these recordings, but there is one thing that anyone can recognize. When an American president fights a war, there is no Plan B. Because when the war goes right, you don't need it. And when the war goes wrong, the only Plan B is not to have tried Plan A.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and pop-up ads invade your business every day through email, web browsing, and instant messaging.
And the fastest way to stop them is with Barracuda Network's spam firewalls and web filters.
Call 888-ANTI-SPAM now
and ask for your free trial.
Barracuda Network's firewalls are affordable and easy to use. That's why over 35,000 leading companies are using the award-winning firewall. Try a Barracuda firewall for free. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to barracuda.com.
In Washington.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Restaurants. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just 2 blocks from the aquarium. Or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Rolls on. Ruth from Carlotta emailed with a bumper music request. Here you go, Ruth. Well, it's not the original, but it'll work.
Year after year on Capitol Hill, the members that we've elected ought to master a skill, like how to go write a budget or how to go pass a bill. They only know how to budget. All those fools on the Hill, they have sure got it wired. Fancy pay.
That's the Capital Steps and their updated version of Fool on the Hill. We continue with Scott Dick. He's our contributor on military and veterans issues here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And we go to Phoenix where, let me get my screen up here. Mark is standing by. Hello, Mark. You're on the air.
Hi, how you doing? I just wanted to let you guys know that I'm on my way to a protest that's in front of John McCain's office right now. So I just wanted to inform you guys. There's actually two of them going on. One's at Camelback and 24th Street. I saw several hundred people there, and they saw all my anti-war, anti-Bush stickers, and they went crazy.
Uh-huh.
So now I'm going to the other one, some traffic. And there's actually a car with a Bush Cheney sticker right in front of me right now.
Well, thank you for that colorful update, Mark. I appreciate it. And give me a sense of how people, Phoenicians, I guess is the right way to describe you, how do Phoenicians respond to the hawkishness of John McCain?
Well, probably in a negative way. A war, to me, war solves nothing. Sending 20,000 more troops doesn't seem to be the solution. And I feel we should bring the troops home now.
Mm-hmm. So. All right, Mark. Well, thanks for calling in with that information. I really appreciate it.
Hey, Peter, I want to make a point.
Yeah, go right ahead, Scott.
You know, this is, like I said, this is just warmed over, stale, stay the course. But he did make the point today of saying at Fort Benning, another photo op, I'm sure, it's important for American people to know this is new. This is something different. And there's nothing new about it. They're not even sending new troops over. They're
right.
Keeping old ones there and sending troops to Fort Benning back for the fourth time. And I just want to reiterate how unprecedented that is in our history. I mean, during the war, troops were in for the duration, but that didn't mean that they were in combat 24/7 the entire time.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's interesting. It is another case where troops have been used for a wallpaper in a presidential photo op. And he apparently, doesn't get the irony of going to Fort Benning, which is the site of the School of the Americas, where we have trained death squads all over the world.
Well, that's okay. Yeah, all right. You know, there's another fight going on. I think there's going to be a book that's going to come out by General Abizaid. Now, isn't he an Arabist, Peter?
He is.
He's famous for speaking Arabic and knowing the Arab people and has studied it. I believe he's an Arabic fellow,
mm-hmm.
Foreign area officer in the army. They spent a lot of money training people to learn their region. He got along very well with the American ambassador. Now, Casey's going to chief of staff, and I don't think most people know that the chief of staff job commands zero troops.
Right.
So they do all. He's responsible for preparing the army to deploy, but he commands nobody. He just Shinseki brought in the beret and Shoemaker, who Rumsfeld brought from retirement because he's the only general he could find to be the chief of staff of the army. And maybe that would say yes a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know Shoemaker myself personally. And he brought in the new combat uniform, among other things. But I think Abizaid is going to bring a book out in a few years. That's going to, after Bush has left the presidency, that's going to really outline what happened at the American embassy in Baghdad with the ambassador leaving, with Abizaid leaving, and with the other general, I forgot his name.
Yeah, the real surge is to retirement for the generals who rejected the idea of an increase in troop levels.
And I think the Abedate's book is going to be titled Dumb and Dumber.
Lee in Vancouver, British Columbia. Thanks for calling the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yes, Peter. I just want to make a comment about Bush's speech last night. You know, it reminded me very much of the kind of speeches that were given when it was revealed that Nixon was bombing Cambodia. And I fully expect now to hear tales of an American effort to destroy the Muqtada al-Sadr trail going through Iran. There's nothing that he said last night that surprised me at all, because he had said a couple of months ago that he will be, you know, that the war will go on and he'll pass it on to the next president. He told people that, you know. Mm-hmm. And what he said last night was really consistent with that statement that he made about 3 months ago.
Yeah. Well, and your point about Sadr, I think, is significant, and it's very difficult to deal with, because if we simply take Sadr out, then we create another martyr of the Iraqi occupation.
Of course.
And yet he is a real irritant, there's no doubt about it, and he's got enough leverage on Maliki that that's his insurance. They will not shut down the Mahdi army, the brigades that are controlled by Muqtada al-Sadr.
But, you know, there's one thing I want to say about al-Sadr, and that is that people seem to forget that al-Sadr was the one who actually forced the elections in the first place. It was, you know, his calls, his persistent calls for elections when Bremer was the proconsul, is what led to the outbreak of violence. Because Bremer went in and shut down his newspaper, which he called for elections.
Mm-hmm.
Well, America had no intentions of having elections.
Interesting point. Scott, go ahead.
Well, the key player in all this that everybody we haven't mentioned, you know, he's like the from Harry Potter, the name that won't be mentioned out loud, and that's al-Sistani.
Mm-hmm.
He is really the real power in Iraq. And he controls Sadr with a flick of his wrist. Sadr's militias would stop doing what they're doing. And that's the guy that we need to, and maybe we are, but that's the guy we need to get fixed somehow with us.
Mm-hmm.
You can't take him out.
Lee?
We can't take him out. That's just not even thinkable.
Right.
We have to work with him, and he's been willing to work with us before. He's the one who got everybody to stop being so violent before the election.
Mm-hmm.
He did it with a flick of his wrist.
Lee, thank you for that call. Now to Emily in Santa Cruz. Hi, Emily. You're on the air.
Yes, Peter. You may already be aware of this, but did you see this Truth Out article on the new oil law means victory in Iraq for Bush?
Yes, I did. We talked about it on Tuesday.
Oh, did you? Yeah, mm-hmm. that's the reason for the surge, to get the oil for the ExxonMobil and all that crowd.
It is. It's certainly an element, not necessarily in the surge, but it is part of the president's concept here.
Yeah.
He mingles this. It's very interesting. To establish its authority, the Iraqi government plans to take responsibility for security in all provinces by November. To give every Iraqi citizen a stake in the country's economy, Iraq will pass legislation to share oil revenues among all Iraqis. Listen to this language.
Yeah.
This is the President of the United States who, when Iraq doesn't do what we want to do, says, well, they're a sovereign nation. And here he is, the head of the occupying nation, telling Iraqis, you will pass legislation to share oil revenues among all Iraqis. Now, what he didn't say is that legislation also permits American and other international multinational oil companies to come in and collect 75% of the profits.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And that,
definite period.
That's extortion in anybody's book, except maybe a Texas oil man.
Yeah, right. Oh, just a real quick word on another subject, and that was healthcare. I wouldn't have called Sheila Hughes Bill a lightweight. Hers was incredible. Covered all California residents. This bill of Schwarzenegger is written by the insurance industry, and they're still going to be calling the shots and collecting the premium. So I think it's just a joke.
I hear your point. I was comparing Sheila Kuehl's bill to SB2.
Oh, I see.
And it was not as aggressive as John Burton's legislation had been.
Oh, I see. Apparently, that must have been a number of years ago.
Yeah, it was the year Davis was recalled.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I've been working on the Sheila Kuehl's bill with I'm on the steering committee here in Santa Cruz. I didn't know she was termed out. Has she been termed out?
Yep, she's finished.
Well, there's somebody who's going to carry this bill for it, reintroduce it. It's going to be reintroduced.
Okay. Thank you, Emily.
Yeah, okay.
Nice to talk with you. Now to Columbia, Mississippi, and Sarge is on the line. Hello, Sarge.
Hello. Thank you, Peter Biggs. Nice to talk to you again.
My pleasure. Go right ahead.
First of all, let me say, everybody gets a chance. Go to progressiveshandbook.com. Click on the Inspiring People. I was honored, and Heather Bokish actually chose me as the Inspiring Person of the Month. Thanks
oh, nice.
To the work that Nova M Radio, Hello and Radio Network, and my site are doing for people in Jackson County. Y'all go there and you can read all about it.
Cool, and Heather's been on our show. She's really bright.
Oh, she is wonderful. You know, she did the interview with me, and then when she finished, she actually included it on her article that she was writing, and then she turned around and donated to the cause.
Wow.
And she is a wonderful person. God bless her, you know.
Yeah.
I wish there was more people like her.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what I called about, even though I'm glad to get it said, Peter. I want to know something. This act that he pulled this morning of going into this consulate and holding these people captive. Now, isn't this one of the most hideous violations of international law there is? Because, number one, a sovereign country outside of either country involved goes in, takes this action in an independent sovereign nation, so to speak, Iraq, against another sovereign nation, Iran. Now, isn't this a just gross violation of international law?
Well, let's come back to Scott's point about dumb and dumber here. Which one is dumber, the idea of threatening to nuke Iran to prevent them from developing a nuclear capability, or to attack an embassy or consulate, which, of course, brings back those memories from 1979? Scott?
Well, I was going to say that if our government considers the Geneva Convention quaint, then the international law provisions must also be quaint, except for things like international law that protects patents on plants because it benefits our corporations. In other words, we're real two-faced about the way we look at international law. If it suits our purposes, you know, it's good, and if it doesn't, then we ignore it.
Well, and that describes bigger issues, too. The United Nations is something that is a lover of convenience for the United States.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And when we need the cover of the UN, we demand that they march to our tune, and the rest of the time we ignore them. We send John Bolton to infuriate them, and we often don't pay our bills.
Well, Peter, Sarge. Well, before I leave,
yeah.
Would you please mention again that anybody who wants to help us with this project that NovaM and all of us are putting together, just go by unreportednews.net.
All right. Very good,
Thanks,
Sarge.
Peter.
Thank you very much. Go ahead, Scott.
Well, I was just going to say that, remember, Peter, we won't seek a permission slip to defend America.
Right.
Remember he said that when he was talking about why we shouldn't work with the international community before we attacked Iraq?
Well, I mean, so much of what he has said is, to use a Nixon term, now inoperable. And he, you know, makes vague reference to changing and mistakes and how he's responsible. But I just keep hearing his repeated enunciation that when the generals ask for more troops, we'll send them. This is not a decision that will be made by politicians in Washington. And that was a lie.
Exactly.
He turned it into a lie last night.
And you know what everybody's talking about now is how his Security Council advisor came out on the morning talk shows, I think, were so stupid as to come out and say, well, we changed the rules of engagement now, and we're not going to allow for Iraqi political interference, and we're going to do what we should have been doing all along. And all these massive red flags and red flares went off all over Washington, D.C. Ted Kennedy came out and said, we didn't know that our troops weren't allowed to fight the way that this explains so much.
Right.
Why we haven't chased these guys down, why we're not able to go into certain areas of Baghdad, why they operate freely. But I think this is, remember, Peter, I mentioned that the American ambassador is the senior guy in the country, and he can stop and start military operations
mm-hmm.
at will.
Yep.
And he's been working with Maliki.
And now he's going to the United Nations. We're going to take a break and continue with Scott Dick. The lines are jammed. We'll get to more of your calls in just a moment, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Well, we still have an injury accident slowing you down in Boulder Creek. It's Highway 236 just west of Highway 9. This is an injury accident. The entire roadway is blocked by a head-on collision. So CHP on scene waiting for a couple tow trucks as well as emergency crews to arrive to clear that out of there. An earlier accident in Carmel, Highway 1 at Carmel Hills Drive has been cleared. Highway 17, both directions through Santa Cruz Mounds, looking stalled and accident-free. You also have some road work going on in Santa Cruz. This is northbound Highway 1, the Emmeline Avenue off-ramp. It is actually closed for long-term road work, which is scheduled to continue all the way through December of this year. So a suggested alternate for you is Branson 40 Avenue exit. This report is brought to you by Office Depot. Rush into Office Depot for great deals on a wide assortment of file folders, binders, filing cabinets, and more. So hurry in and get organized today. Office Depot, taking care of business. I'm Diane with traffic, KRXA 540.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 10 minutes away from the hour. Elvis, what do you got to say? We continue now with Scott Dick. He's our contributor on military and veterans issues here on the Peter B. Collins Show. He also on KRXA 540 hosts the Tasty Planet Show every Saturday afternoon. We're going to trade some licks, and I'll be there this Saturday at 1, and we'll talk about food and wine and all that stuff that we enjoy. Scott, our lines are totally jammed. I want to mention to callers, if we don't get to all of you in this segment, hang on, because the free speech zone is next hour. We'll go wall-to-wall with your phone calls, so you will be heard. If you're on the line, do not despair. And before we go back to callers, Scott, I just wanted to see if you had any further comments that you're itching to add about the president's speech or the policy shift he claims he announced last night.
Well, it's not a policy shift. It's just more of the same. And he's trying to... Like I said, it was the most uninspiring, mediocre, major speech that's been anticipated. I mean, he dithered for months talking to the experts for that.
Yeah.
Peter, I also want to bring up the point that American foreign policy has always been about trade. I mean, our military was first formed for a revolution, but after that, it was to open and maintain trade routes. But we've written checks to dictators and to bribe countries before, but we've never been quite so blatant about it. And this is, I think, the worst case. I mean, we've had these ideological struggles with communism, but this is so blatant. It is so pointed at oil and maintaining a private wealth in so many people's and so many small, unit hands. It's just mind-boggling. It's staggering in its implications.
Indeed it is. Lucas in Monterey, you're next here on the PBC show. Go right ahead, Lucas.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
Love your show.
Thank you.
Hey, I've got a couple questions. One, I heard earlier someone talking about Senator McConnell talking about denying funding during the Clinton years.
That's correct.
As I remember, and I can't remember the Secretary of Defense at the time, who passed away shortly after he resigned.
Les Aspin.
Okay. He asked for armored units during Mogadishu.
Mm-hmm.
And the Congress would not allow him to have them. And this whole thing about America's going to leave and look at Mogadishu, so on and so forth, as I recall, they were rescued, and I would like, Scott, if he remembers, by Pakistani armor.
Well, actually, one of the things I remember about Les Aspin that he said before he passed away was one of his greatest regrets was not allowing American armor into Mogadishu. And in fact, our generals had asked him for that, and he denied it because he thought it was an unnecessary escalation.
There was some talk at the time about that the fact that Congress would not allow that, they would not fund that.
Well, that's possible. And to me, that was a huge tactical mistake and directly led to the death of 18 Americans.
Exactly. And,
Lucas.
This whole scenario of the that's where we lost our will and so on and so forth. I think it was political pressure on the Clinton administration.
Well, Lucas, I cannot recall the details about whether
either
Aspin or Congress denied the use of armor there. But I'll just reiterate, because I have some notes here, that Mitch McConnell supported a move by Congress to place limits on military spending and to place a specific date, March 31st, 1994, on operations in Somalia.
Right.
And so he speak with a forked tongue.
Exactly.
These
not
days.
Only that, Peter, but I heard him also, I heard a quote today or either today or yesterday. He was saying that he wanted the Democrats to come out with a plan because all they've been doing is criticizing.
Right.
And he didn't know what our plan was. And I wanted to reach to the radio and choke him and just say, what is the Republicans' plan? There ain't none.
You got it.
One more question.
All right, Lucas.
I'm a Vietnam era vet, and I read a report somewhere in the last 3 or 4 years when they were talking about the armored Humvees. Isn't there a lot of APCs available, Scott, that are still around that are more armored than Humvees for the street kind of patrols that they're doing in Baghdad right now?
Yes.
Or in all of Iraq.
Yeah, they left all their they made them leave their Bradleys and most of their Bradleys and most of their tanks. If you look on the news, any of the footage, you will not see Bradleys. You'll see Strikers because we ordered a bunch of those from American government contractors, but you won't see Bradleys there. And they brought up something else. It's called the Buffalo. It weighs 10 tons because even an armored Humvee, what they're finding out is when a IED explodes underneath it, that the acceleration is actually what kills the troops inside of it.
Okay.
And so they need a vehicle like a Bradley or a tank that weighs 60 tons to keep that from happening. And we have it. Now we're reinventing the wheel. We're making a new thing. It's called the Buffalo. It's a great vehicle, although I did see some footage of some burning. But the crews got out because they don't have that rapid acceleration.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
Isn't the APC a better vehicle? I know it's a track vehicle rather than a fast Hummer. Isn't an APC better for troops, even in a city situation?
Well, the armored personnel carrier has been replaced by the Bradley. We call them infantry, or they call them infantry fighting vehicles. And an infantry fighting vehicle is made exactly for that.
Okay.
They're great in urban terrain. You can't see much, but you know what? You can't get shot by a sniper because you're firing out of a firing port.
All right, Lucas, thanks for your call. I got to squeeze in one more here. Will in Michigan, you're on the air. Go ahead, Will.
Hey, Peter. We had a big protest here in East Lansing about 2 hours ago. It ended. We had about 300 people out in the median on Grand River Avenue in downtown East Lansing, right across from campus of Michigan State University.
Right.
And I saw some interesting signs. One of them said, "Purge the urge to surge."
That's a real good one. You know, Will, we tried to call Radio Shack and order some surge protection for the Democrats. And, you know, I didn't want one for 120 volts. I wanted one for 50 votes. And we were unable to come up with that device. Thanks for your call today. I really appreciate it. Scott, we got about 20 seconds. Anything you'd like to add?
Just that, you know, the American people have a gut reaction. They may not know all the specifics. They don't have all the details, but there's a gut reaction that there's something stinky in the refrigerator, and it's this new, old, confusing, idiotic policy, whatever he calls it.
And it's
they know it's in their guts.
Leftovers with green stuff growing on it. Thank you, Scott.
You're welcome, Peter.
We'll talk again soon, and I'll talk to you Saturday.
All right.
Coming up next, the Free Speech Zone. All your calls on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Join Glenn Brooks and pioneering dentist Dr. Floris Day in igniting a new wellness revolution that redefines the word natural and puts the tools you need for complete vitality into your hands. If you have avoided or hated the dentist or simply want to take your health up a notch, this is the program for you. Tune in to Vibrant Living right here on KRXA 540 AM at 10 o'clock this Saturday morning, January 13th.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Skepticism was about the mildest sentiment as Capitol Hill weighed in on the troop buildup in Iraq. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
The Secretaries of Defense and State had a rough day as members of Congress expressed anger and frustration at the new policy to send more troops to Iraq. Morally and tactically wrong, said Republican Senator Chuck Hagel.
The most dangerous foreign policy blunder in this country since Vietnam.
Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice acknowledged this policy, like the last one, does depend on a shaky Iraqi government.
We're clear-eyed, too, about the fact that the Iraqi government has to perform, and we're clear-eyed about the fact that they've not in the past.
But she and other administration officials insisted they have to keep trying. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
President Bush spoke to a friendlier crowd, soldiers and their families at Fort Benning, Georgia.
What's new about this plan is there will be enough troops to clear, build, and hold, and that our troops will be able to move alongside the Iraqis without political interference.
He said there's no question that the situation is difficult, but said failure in Iraq would be a disaster for our future. CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Bob Schieffer says the president's speech last night apparently didn't change many minds.
A CBS News poll conducted after the speech showed 68% of the people polled are still uneasy about the president's ability to make the right decisions about Iraq. That is the same percentage as when we asked the same question during the first week in January.
50% said they disapprove of the president's proposals. Just 37% said they approve. The Democratic majority in the House kept forging ahead today.
On this vote to promote stem cell research, the yeas are 253, the nays are 174. The bill is passed.
Speaker Nancy Pelosi, as the House voted to lift President Bush's restrictions on federal funding for embryonic stem cell research. The vote fell short of the two-thirds majority needed to override a veto, but Robin Elliott of the Parkinson's Disease Foundation says this puts added pressure on Mr. Bush.
If the momentum continues through the vote in the Senate, which we expect to be sometime quite soon, then who knows? This could be something that could really be pushing the White House to revise its position.
Many people told that Hurricane Katrina damage wasn't covered by their homeowners' policies took their insurance companies to court. Today, a couple in Gulfport, Mississippi, was awarded more than $2.5 million. Insurance industry attorney Randy Matteloff says it's a major blow.
Homeowners are going to look at these numbers as the new floor for what their cases are worth. And if that's the way homeowners react, then it's going to be a lot more difficult or a lot more expensive for State Farm to reach a settlement or for all carriers to reach a settlement.
The Dow closed at a new record high, up 72 points to 12,514. The NASDAQ up 25. This is CBS News.
Just kick back for the moment. Let your worries drift away, cause here we're living for today. Let's go out back tonight.
Let go of the day. Go out back tonight, where fresh R.E. Turner is seasoned, seared, and served on a batter crisp remain. Start the new year fresh. Leave your worries at the door.
Let's go out back tonight.
Tonight, let go.
Life will still be there tomorrow.
Go out back.
Why settle for another pre-made combo meal when right now you can get a Subway Fresh Value Meal at a great price? A delicious sub with chips and a drink. The Subway Fresh Value Meal. What a deal. Subway Restaurants, where freshness meets value. Subway. Eat fresh.
Offer good on regular 6-inch sub bag of chips and 21-ounce drink. Subway's registered trademark of Dr. Associates, Inc.
Before President Bush flew to Fort Benning, Georgia today, he bestowed a rare military honor. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller has the story from the White House.
At a moving ceremony in the East Room, President Bush made a posthumous presentation of the nation's highest award for valor to Marine Corporal Jason Dunham. The 22-year-old lost his life 2 years ago in Iraq during hand-to-hand combat with an insurgent who let loose a hand grenade.
Corporal Dunham did not hesitate. He jumped on the grenade, using his helmet and body to absorb the blast.
Dunham is credited with saving the lives of at least two other Marines. It's only the second time a Medal of Honor has been bestowed for an act of military gallantry in Iraq. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
Encouraging news about Senator Tim Johnson, who had surgery for bleeding in his brain last month. The South Dakota Democrat has been moved out of intensive care, and his surgeon says an MRI shows the speech centers in Johnson's brain were not damaged. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Just kick back for the moment. Let your worries drift away, cause here we're living for today. Let's go out back tonight.
Let go of the day. Go out back tonight, where fresh R.E. Turner is seasoned, seared, and served on a batter crisp remain. Start the new year fresh. Leave your worries at the door.
Let's go out back tonight.
Tonight, let go.
Life will still be there tomorrow.
Go out back.
Is your office in disarray? Can't find what you need? Well, Office Depot has great deals on file folders, binders, filing cabinets, shredders, and storage containers. Plus, we have over 800 calendars and planners to keep you up to date. So hurry in. Let Office Depot lend you a hand getting organized. Office Depot, taking care of business.
Whoa, Office Depot!
It's time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B., 6 minutes past the hour. And this is the Free Speech Zone, where we take your calls on any subject, from any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. We got a lot of callers on the line, but there's one line open for you right now if you'd like to join us. 888-5-PETER-B is the toll-free number. 888-573-8372. Most people want to talk about Bush's speech, the surge, and the issues related to it, in particular the threat that we're going to enter some sort of confrontation, a military conflict, another voluntary one with Iran and or Syria. And we'll get to that. I'm looking forward to talking with you about that. But I want to introduce one other subject, and it's a little bit personal. I spent a couple of years working at one of the greatest radio stations in San Francisco, KSFO, legendary call letters, a legendary history. And that station was purchased by ABC Radio, at which point I was let loose, fired, and turned into one of the most virulent right-wing hate-spewing radio stations in the country. They used to have Michael Savage, but he got a better offer from Clear Channel and crossed to another station in town. And so the two local people on the station who are most filled with hate are a morning co-host named Melanie Morgan and an evening host named Brian Sussman. And this all comes to light because there is a blogger in San Francisco named Spocko. And Spocko started listening to KSFO and was appropriately offended by some of the hate-filled commentary that he heard. And so he used the technology available to him. He recorded segments of the programs that he found offensive. And he made MP3 clips that he passed around on his blog. And then he got a little proactive. And he sent some of these deeply offensive clips to advertisers that were supporting the ABC Disney station, KSFO. And he simply asked them to listen to this audio and say, do you want your advertising to appear on programming like this? And to their credit, Bank of America and MasterCard pulled their advertising, at least from the local shows on KSFO, in response to the efforts of Spocko. And this is where it gets interesting. ABC Radio lowered the boom on Spocko, sicked their lawyers on him, and said that he was violating the copyrights of the radio station by passing these clips around. Now, if you listen to Rush Limbaugh or any of the shows on KSFO, they make liberal use, and I chose that word on purpose, liberal use of sound bites, mostly from people who they trash and do not permit to defend themselves. And they are cracking down, and they threaten Spocko with legal action, and apparently he decided it wasn't worth it, or he couldn't afford it, and so he removed the clips from his blog. But to their credit, crooksandliars.com and the Daily Kos, among other websites, have taken over the hosting of these clips. And I'd like to give you one example, partly just to tweak ABC and KSFO, but also to give you an idea, because many people who listen to progressive radio do not listen to the right wing, because it makes you sick. I understand that. But hold your lunch for a moment here and listen to Melanie Morgan, co-host of the morning show on KSFO. This is just one of her virulent remarks.
Well, I tell you, I have an email here from some nut job, Grand Forks, North Dakota. Barry says, Senator Kerry was right. Most military people there for financial reasons. The truth may calm you down if you choose to accept it. See, I told you, this is what these people out there think, that people who join the Army do not have any patriotic, noble cause that they believe in bigger than themselves.
Yeah.
Just outrageous.
Got to try to track that email address and do something unpleasant to his cojones if he has any.
None.
Okay, so that is Lee Rogers, who used to be a respectable but conservative host when he was on the mainstream ABC station, KGO, threatening to cut off the balls of this emailer. He said it in the, used the term cojones, but that's what he meant. And here's a little more.
Holidays are coming up quick with important events to attend, like company parties. You need to look your best, and that means having a bright smile. Well, bright smiles.
All right, I don't want to hear a commercial.
Three aircraft carriers parked nearby, and they start taking out all the Hamas training camps, all the Hezbollah meeting centers, and they literally turn Syria into a smoking, flaming cinder. And then we say, hey, look at Syria. We told you we didn't want your guys coming into Iraq, And we literally go in there and put down a shock and awe on Syria that just leaves the whole world.
Well, here's an armchair national security advisor.
We should have done this very early on in the campaign in greater fashion, and I appreciate your thoughts tonight.
So this is Brian Sussman. Now, Brian used to be a weatherman on Channel 5 in San Francisco and also was a stand-up comic. And I interviewed him on several occasions and had no idea about what a Neanderthal conservative he is. And if we can find the clip, we'll play it for you a little bit later, where he has a caller on the line who he suspects is Muslim. And so in trying to basically smoke this guy out to see if he is a Muslim or not, he asks him to declare that Allah is a whore. And the man demurs. And then he says, well, tell me you like to eat pig. I mean, these are deeply offensive remarks. And these are on mainstream radio stations owned by big corporate entities like ABC. It's really shocking. And then when the truth is revealed about what they are doing, they sick the lawyers on a blogger who is simply trying to spread the truth around. Back to your calls we go. Alvin in Montgomery, Alabama. Thanks for calling the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hello, Peter.
Hi.
How you doing?
Not bad.
I was watching the Lou Dobbs report a couple nights ago,
and
they had a number of issues. One, they were talking about Union Pacific, how they're planning on making mandatory that Mexican workers be employed on exclusively Mexican workers be employed on all the freight that comes from across the Mexican border into America. And then Lou Dobbs, I thought, had the right head on that, how that was un-American and how they were planning on exploiting those people for gain. So I thought he had the right head on that. Then they went to another issue. They went to how Bush wants to privatize infrastructure, roads and bridges and this type of thing. And he had a panel of people. They thought that was ludicrous, which I thought was the right hit, right take on that.
Well, let me just pause because there's a powerful story in Mother Jones Magazine this month about this effort. It started in Indiana, and they sold the toll road to a foreign company that is permitted to raise the tolls after a two-year period on an unlimited basis. They're going to own the road for 75 years. it's unbelievable, and it's highly un-American.
How is it not unbelievable? That's what Bush and these people do.
Well, you have a point.
Okay. Well, we're in agreement. Let me keep going. Okay, now, so they're talking about, and I'm paraphrasing, but in essence, they're talking about runaway capitalism and how bad it's been. And so then they turn, they go to Hugo Chavez, and they start talking about how he has the second largest oil supply outside of the Middle East. They were talking about how since he's come into power, that now they get $15. I mean, when he came into power, they were only getting $15 per barrel for the oil, and now they get $60 per barrel for the oil. So they went and they were talking about how he's used that, he's nationalized that, so all of the citizens over there benefit from the sale of that oil. Mm-hmm. They're talking about how there's still a lot of homelessness, but there's a lot less since he's nationalized. They're talking about education, how he's provided that benefits, how he's provided benefits of health care for everybody through that. And you should have heard the terms they were using when they described it. I hear that. I'm thinking that's something very good. You're cutting down on poverty. You're providing more food. You're providing education. You're providing health care. They were so stark and dire about that. That was a horrible thing.
Mm-hmm.
What is wrong with feeding people?
I don't have any problem. The issue I will say, though, is I do believe Hugo Chavez has recently crossed the line. And I am not opposed to socialism, and I think that if Venezuela wants to fully embrace it, it's probably best for the average citizens of Venezuela. My concern is that Chavez, who just got reelected to a third six-year term, is consolidating his power. He is eviscerating the political opposition. He took steps during his previous term to increase his control over the media. And so it's a mixed bag because I don't support Bush's effort to destabilize or depose Hugo Chavez, and neither do I support Pat Robertson's wishful prayers that Chavez be assassinated. But I am disappointed to see him going into a strongman mode and modeling himself after Fidel Castro.
I think
there's a really nice middle ground, and it appears he's going too far at this point.
Let me say this, Pete, before you let me go.
Sure.
There's no perfect solution, but in this world, especially with America, I'm more fearful of this country than I am any other country. And I'm not saying that to be flip. I'm ashamed to be American because I see this man over there. You say he's going to a strong man mode. Well, he better be strong because if not, we're going to kill him. We're going to take that damn oil away from him. and when we do it, we're going to say we're crazy. So he better be strong because we will come and we will take that oil from him. And all these Christians over here, white and black, will be going, yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, we tried to foment and support a coup against him just a couple of years ago. So, Alvin, you got a point that I can't refute there. Thanks for your call.
Thanks, Al.
Nice to have you listening online there, probably on the NovaMRadio.com stream, where we've picked up a lot of new listeners over the last few months. Glad to have you online. More of your calls coming up next here. The Free Speech Zone is in full effect. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Taking a look at your Central Coast traffic, CHP still on scene working to clear an accident in Boulder Creek. It's Highway 236 just west of Highway 9. This is an injury accident blocking the entire roadway caused by a head-on collision there. So CHP is on scene working on that. Keep your eyes open in Gilroy, northbound 101 before 152. Got a large piece of metal in one of the lanes there. Santa Cruz Mounds, both directions of Highway 17. Checking in, stalling accident-free. In Watsonville, Highway 152 between Highway 1 and Beverly Drive North. Caltrans will be doing roadway upgrades in various areas. This work is going to continue through fall. And Santa Cruz northbound Highway 1, the Emmeline Avenue off-ramp, is closed for long-term road work. Posted detours in place for you. Save big during Mancini's Sleep World's truckload mattress sale. They'll beat anyone's advertised price by 10% or your mattress is free. Call 1-800-64-SLEEP and start sleeping better tonight. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
During that last break there, so I apologize if our rejoin there was a little uneven. But it's like Bush said, mistakes were made and I'm responsible. Well, he didn't even say that. And during the break, I was listening to more of this slimy talk from KSFO, this conservative talk station in San Francisco, owned by ABC Disney. It's being transferred to another company, but it's still under their control. And they're the ones who are trying to squish like a bug this blogger who had the temerity to record shows and send clips of the most offensive material to advertisers of that radio station. And here's some hits on Nancy Pelosi and Barack Obama.
Look, I'll have me on the shipping list for some of those high-end wines. I'll take your
stop sucking up to the woman for crying out loud. We've got work to do.
Let's hear it for Nancy. All right, she's dreaming of personally strangling Melanie Morgan.
Oh, we've got a bullseye painted on her big, wide, laughing eyes.
That is easy.
Eyes.
Now, Melanie Morgan talks about having a bullseye on Nancy Pelosi, and even her co-host thinks that's over the line. He's saying, wait a minute, Melanie.
Yeah, well, that's the only thing about her that's big and white. OV, what's up on the roads, bridges, tunnels, and all that?
Okay. Obama, Senator Obama,
Now, this is an exchange between the same Melanie Morgan and the evening host Brian Sussman, where they both smear Barack Obama.
It's, as you call, a Hafrican.
Hafrican, and again, his father was his father was from Kenya. His mother's white. Okay, now I have nothing with nothing against mixed race people, but my point is, when this guy stands in front of a black audience, pretended like he was born and raised in the hood and he can identify with the problems, he doesn't allow, he is not, in my opinion, because my opinion is your average white guy, he's not allowed to wear the African-American badge because his family are not the descendants of slaves, okay? He can't identify with the discrimination and the slavery and all of that that's gone into these black families for generations. He's a kid who was raised with a silver spoon in his mouth in a white family in Hawaii. Okay, you want to call me names for saying this? Go right ahead. I'm just telling you what the guy is.
All right, the name I'll call you, Brian Sussman, is you're a white racist. And we don't need any more of those in this country. Deborah in Phoenix, thanks for holding. You're next on the Peter B. Collins Show. Hi, is this... Oh, I picked up line three, so whoever you are, identify yourself.
Peter, this is Josh in Salinas.
Josh, I picked up the wrong line, but it's your good luck. Go right ahead. We'll get to Deborah in a moment. Sorry.
Hey, that's terrific. There will be a peace rally at 6 o'clock, really soon, tonight in Salinas, in front of the West Dallas L Post Office.
Right.
And we have phenomenally good news.
Mm-hmm.
This is on Assemblyman... Congressman Farr's website today, he's introduced a resolution to withdraw American troops, all of them, from Iraq.
Yes, you are correct. We've been talking about it. We got the release just before we went on the air today, and I'm delighted. And in some ways, it appears to be influenced by the interview we had with him last evening, right about this time, talking about the War Powers Act and whether the president has a current authorization for the occupation, much less the surge.
Well, this language would certainly make that clear, wouldn't it? The authorization for use of military force against Iraq resolution of 2002 is hereby repealed.
Isn't that nice and simple?
Yes. It's fantastic.
It sure is. Well, Josh, thanks for checking in, and I hope hundreds of people show up at the West Allisal Post Office in Salinas tonight along with you.
Thank you very much, Peter.
Okay. Bye. Now to Deborah in Phoenix. False alarm before there. Deborah, sorry.
That's okay. How are you doing, Peter?
I'm okay.
Well, that's good news to hear after listening to those disgusting people.
Isn't it amazing what they get away with?
God, it's so depressing.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just felt compelled to call you. I just came from a rally in Phoenix in front of John McCain's office.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the second little protest march I've done with Air America that, you know, I've heard about of Air America. And it was just so moving. I just encourage any of the listeners who have never done that before to do it. It's a strange experience. It's very cleansing to be, you know, stand up and be counted.
There's a national mobilization scheduled for January 27th, and I think it is important for people who stepped out and expressed themselves before the war in Iraq to take the streets back and send an important message. We need to send the message not only to Bush, but also to help give coverage to some of the courageous Democrats like Sam Farr, who are now willing to stick their necks out and say, yes, here is a resolution, very simple, to repeal the authorization and bring the troops home. That's what we need.
And it's so good to do something like that, because like today at school, I didn't hear one person talk about Bush's speech. You know, everybody is so afraid to offend somebody and talk about politics. And it was just strange. I mean, this is such a scary time. And people, you know, at least in my workplace, weren't even talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
We had this representation of a flag draped coffin, and I helped carry it up and down the street, and a man with a bagpipe playing Amazing Grace. And I mean, I always felt like crying. I mean, I really teared up. It was just an amazing experience to do something like that. So I encourage, if you haven't done a protest march, to get out and do that. I guess they're happening all over the country now.
Yeah, and I encourage people to express themselves, to keep it peaceful. Civil disobedience I can abide by, but please, no vandalism, no violence. Do not give them an excuse to declare us to be rabble.
Oh, yeah.
We are the real Americans who embrace the true Constitution and the limits on power that the Constitution defines. And we cannot yield ground on that, and we can't undermine our own effort by allowing any hooliganism to develop in this effort.
Right.
Deborah, thanks for the call. Yeah. Good to have you listening in Phoenix. More of your calls coming up next. The Free Speech Zone in full effect until further notice. Call me now, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
"We're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service."
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
Message to W. R.E. Iraq. Dude, it's time to wrap it up.
I've been watching you for days now, baby. I just love your such ways now, baby. You know my love will never stop now, baby. Just put your love in my box now, baby. Wrap it up. I'll take it. Wrap it up, I'll take it.
I'm Peter B. Collins. This is your free speech zone. There's one line open right now at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Greg, Sacramento, you're next.
Peter, how are you?
I'm doing okay.
We miss you up here.
Well, they made a change on the radio station there. That's one of those things beyond my control.
I know. Well, I went to China for a month and come back, and you're not there. I was kind of disappointed.
Well, I'm a little disappointed, too, but we take it as it comes.
Well, you know, I thought I would take this opportunity to give you a call, say hello, and extend an invitation to any of your listeners there in the Bay Area, and to Deborah, if she's interested in coming up to Sacramento. We're having a big, big protest Saturday. It will be held at, well, just across the street from the Tower Theater on 16th and Broadway.
All right.
It starts, I'm getting two times, but if you want to any time after 3 p.m. Saturday afternoon, would be good.
Mm-hmm.
But it's at 16th and Broadway,
right,
in Sacramento, just across the street from the Tower Theater. And if no one knows where the Tower Theater is, we're just off of Business 80.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be sponsored by various groups, but mainly Sacramento for Democracy. And we would like to encourage as many people as possible that are listening now to tell your friends and come up to Sacramento. We'd love to have you. And as with the past, with our protests up here, they have been peaceful and controlled, and the Sacramento police are sympathetic, believe
mm-hmm.
it or not.
I would believe that.
and we have had a couple of nutcases show up, but we have people that do a pretty good job of discouraging them
mm-hmm.
to mess up the works.
Yeah, and watch out for right-wing provocateurs. They're out there, too, and there are people like, you know, Melanie Morgan, who incite and inspire people to try to interfere. She's the one who took a busload of people to Crawford, Texas, to say that Cindy Sheehan doesn't speak for her.
I've never really heard her before. This is the first time I've really heard her mouth off. But I've heard her name mentioned, but I've never.
Yeah.
These people are disgusting.
Well, and they have no class and they have no shame. Thank you, Greg.
Sure, Peter.
All right. Now, Matt, are you saying Cheney's on the line?
Yeah.
What's the matter? KSFO wouldn't take him? Tell him to hold, because Rick in Peoria is here, and he gets priority. Hi, Rick. You're on the air.
Hi. Is Dick Cheney holding?
Apparently, Dick or somebody just like him.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, well,
let me just tell them. I'm surprised that they're in the speech last night that Bush mentioned that they wanted to, or he wants to, what I wanted him to do a long time ago was yield these oil profits to the Iraqi population, but only to the tune of 25%. And that in itself is a total failure. And
now, Rick, you just don't get it. Those damn Iraqis are over there sitting on our oil.
Well, you know what? And they're going to continue sitting on it. And we're going to continue spending billions of dollars and thousands of lives trying to control it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not the way to go. That is not a win. And that, I just find that totally outrageous that he didn't mention that American corporations are going to be stepping up to take 75% of the profits. Is that true?
That's just a fringe benefit of inserting democracy and standing up a government in Iraq.
That is outrageous, and that is what this is all about. And this is what has got to be conveyed to the American people. And this will not stand. This will not work. It'll turn into a bloody mess. It'll stay that way, and it's just not right.
All right, Rick.
You know, we want to make a democracy with this country. Let them have their resources. Let them work out their problems. But, man, this is just totally outrageous.
Now, wait a minute.
Thanks for the Freedom Hour.
You wouldn't give the keys to a 12-year-old, would you? The keys to the car?
You know what? They've lived there a lot longer than we have.
Thank you, Rick.
Bye.
It appears that Vice President Dick Cheney is on line six. Is this Dick?
That's right. Peter B., a San Francisco commie hippie.
Yeah, how are you?
I'm doing great. I couldn't get through the KSFO line. I got shunted over to here for some reason.
Well, I've had you on hold the last two callers. Would you like to respond? This is the free speech zone, and even you get free speech.
Well, that's right. Well, I could answer that Rick thing, that Rick caller. By the way, Rick, I know where you live, too. You know, we're going to...
You've been dipping into Rick's mail, too?
Well, you know, everybody's got to have a hobby. Now, to show the American people that, this isn't a war about oil. You know, everybody's complaining it's just a war about oil. This is my proposal, I intend to remove all that oil from underneath Iraq and put it on my private oil reserve in Wyoming for safekeeping while I iron out the impediments to the capitalistic-style democracy that we need to, or that they want to install. So
that's a really generous offer.
Very. And I got some other points, too. You know, the president had his last night. Well, I'll run down, you know. We need some visible improvements to show the Iraqis, you know, that things are going to be better. So, there's a lot of excess unused Katrina victim trailers down in New Orleans, Louisiana.
Uh-huh. Right.
Well, we're going to stuff those full of Katrina victims and send those over there.
Uh-huh.
And let's see.
Is that the compassionate part of the conservative agenda?
Extreme compassionate.
Uh-huh.
Extreme compassion. And now I intend to use the full diplomatic resources to rally support by sending the NFL cheerleaders over there to cheer up the people over there
mm-hmm.
in Iraq. There's a lot of teams now that are out of the playoffs.
Right.
And so we'll just, they're cheerleaders, nothing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll just, issue them some burkas and send them over there, and they can just cheer the people up.
That's brilliant.
And then the Super Bowl winner, their prize is they don't have to go.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Right. Now, to a lot of people complaining about the Shiite and Sunni problem over there. Now, I think I'm going to send over Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson.
Oh, please.
And that'll unite the Shiites and the Sunnis, and, you know, they can fight them instead. I'll take that pressure off that.
I like that.
I've been watching some of their TV over there. You know, I have it sent over to me and watching what the people watch over there in the Iraqis. There's not enough cop shows on
mm-hmm.
their television.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to round up some Hollywood types, send them over there, create some cop shows to, you know, show people, what justice should be like. You know, we can dub, that popular thing that Sutherland does, 24?
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dub that into Iraqi, and, you know, you can just see what real justice is like.
Well, what about John Walsh, with an Iraqi version of The Most Wanted?
That's a great idea. That's mm-hmm. great. Now you're thinking like a Republican.
Well, I won't last long because I don't use OxyContin. Dick, let me ask you this.
Yes.
This new way forward that your boy announced last night. It's SOS. It's the same old stuff.
Well, you know, it's the same old stuff, but it's fresh. It's a fresh same old stuff. I mean, we have, you know, a little, you know, bunch of boys back there in the think tanks, and they think this stuff up, and they've been thinking the same stuff up for, you know, past, you know, 4 or 5 years.
Right.
But it's fresh, though. I mean, we just go, you know, knock on the door, and they hand out the file, and it's a fresh one. So, it's, in a way, you know, we'll try it again.
Well, finally, since you're actually the guy in charge there, could you tell us what your intentions are for Iran? You sent the Stennis carrier group. You ordered the U.S. forces to invade the Iranian consulate in Kurdistan, northern Iraq, earlier today. It really appears you're trying to provoke a war over there.
Well, not provoke a war so much as just scare the crap out of them.
Uh-huh.
I want to involve California a lot, too. So, you know, Schwarzenegger's not playing hardball, you know, with us. You know, he's not playing playing like a good Republican. So we're going to send Schwarzenegger over there in one of his fancy Hollywood outfits, drive around in a Hummer, and just scare the crap out of him.
I see. All right, Dick. Well, it sounds like you're firmly in charge and unrepentant.
Why bother to repent? I'm in charge.
Yeah. All right, Dick. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, God bless America and nobody else.
Okay, bye-bye. There he is, Dick Cheney. Wow. Jim in Tempe, you're next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yeah, I don't think I can follow that. I follow the vice president. He might shoot me.
Yeah,
anyway,
you must be careful. You know he's tapping your phone and reading your mail, and just the coup de grace would be he'd take you on a honeycomb.
Yeah, I'm kind of redneck, so I don't even write.
I see.
I don't have enough time talking. Anyway, that representative that's going to introduce the resolution to do away with the authorization to be in Iraq.
It was introduced today, and his name is Sam Farr. He's the congressman from the Central Coast of California.
I hate to burst his bubble, because when that gets to King George's desk, he'll just sign it into law, but he'll put his signing statement there. I am God. This does not apply to me.
So he'll just sign it with his fingers crossed, like
he'll
so many other bills.
But the signing statement will say it applies to everybody else, but not to him, because he's God.
Yeah, he'll implement it when he gets around to it.
Well, I don't think he'll implement it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, enjoy your show.
Thank you, Jim. Nice to hear from you. And help me out. Do you say Tempe or Tempe?
Tempe.
Okay, there's an extra.
I don't know which I say. I couldn't tell any difference to what you said.
All right. Now to Tommy in Arcata, or do you say Arcata?
We say Arcata.
I thought so. Hi, Tommy.
Hi. I really actually enjoy your show quite a bit. I tend to listen to quite a bit of the Republican fare and the Democrat to see what's going on, and I think sometimes we're a little bit too unbalanced, but I think that you have the right tone.
Well, thank you. I try.
Well, what I called about, a thought that's been in my head with regard to the upcoming election, is like some Democrats, I'm afraid that if we have Barack Obama run or Hillary Clinton, that they're such easy targets that they'll be disassembled by the Republican war machine just way too easily. But then on the other hand, my thought is that this is a chance for them to get so ugly that most of America will just disown them entirely.
Well, it's an interesting point. Let me just add that the first step for Obama or Clinton is that they have to win a significant number of Democratic primaries. And Super Tuesday is usually, it comes up about a month into the cycle. You got Iowa, New Hampshire, and then you go to the South. And in each case, I think that the two candidates you mentioned, Obama and Clinton, will have real challenges because of the composition of the Democratic base in the southern states. And Clinton, because of Bill, the history, so many things, I think has a challenge. And Obama, because of his skin color, despite the racist attacks you heard a couple of minutes ago from the white guy in San Francisco. And so I think it's going to be fascinating to see. And we will find out first if Democratic voters are ready for a woman and or an African-American man, and then it will be a further challenge to see if the general electorate, including independents and a few Republicans, could vote for either one of those candidates in the general. So I think that I welcome both of them to the race. I do not support Hillary, but I say that she has every right to run. and she has every right to run and lose, in my book. Obama is, in my view, still undefined in many respects, but people clearly want a fresh face. They like a lot of the things that he has articulated, and so I think the rigors of the campaign trail will be interesting for him, too. And now we have Chris Dodd, the senator from Connecticut, throwing his hat into the ring. Kerry is probably going to be back. So it's going to be a very crowded field, and I just can't wait, because I want to see, given the pain and suffering we've endured under the Republicans and Bush in particular, how far to the left the Democratic primary voters are willing to go in 2008. I can't predict yet, but I'm going to watch it with fascination.
Can I add one more point?
Yes, you may, because this is not the Rush Limbaugh show where you get faded after your first remark.
Okay,
but
this is in a different direction. I'm former military, and I was listening to Sean Hannity the other day, and I'm just so disgusted with people like him. And this may even be an unpopular thing I'm going to say. As someone who's actually been in the military and mm-hmm. who has been deployed, I'm so disgusted with the American military soldier being touted as this hero, this perfect being who signed up for the military with the idea that they were going to defend American freedom. Because that's not what we are.
Tommy, I want to hear you further, and I've got to take a break here because there's a traffic reporter who's going to kill me if I don't. So
okay. Stand
by, and we'll hear you out after the break here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's a taste you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey. PG.
Well, for your final look of Central Coast traffic, no new stalls or accidents to report in Monterey, Santa Cruz, or Salinas. Highway 17, both directions through Santa Cruz Mountains, also stall and accident-free. You're going to see a little bit of sluggish traffic, though. Southbound Highway 1 is slow between Monterey and Carmel. Eastbound 25 is sluggish out of Gilroy into Hollister. And eastbound 129, you're going to see brake lights between Watsonville and Aromas. Eastbound 183, pretty sluggish between Castroville and Salinas. Some road work going on in Watsonville. Highway 150. 52 between Highway 1 and Beverly Drive North. Caltrans going to be doing some roadway upgrades in various areas. This work's going to continue all the way through the fall. This report brought to you by Office Depot. Rush into Office Depot for great deals on a wide assortment of file folders, binders, filing cabinets, and more. So hurry in and get organized today. Office Depot, taking care of business. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
8 minutes away from the hour as we continue here on the Peter B. Collins Show, and we return to Tommy in Arcata, who was trying to make a comment as I was trying to go to a break. So, Tommy, we've got more time now. Tell us what you're trying to say.
I was kind of talking about the military perspective. When I joined the Army way back when, I was actually went in when I was 17 years old, and I was really intimidated by the conception that we're given of what the Army is made up of, the idea that they're all these barrel-chested guys that want nothing more than to wave the flag and fight for freedom. And, I mean, honestly, I guess I grew up with kind of believing that. And then you get there, and you look around, and it's a bunch of kids, who failed at a lot of different options that they had in their lives. And so they chose the Army as kind of like a last stitch to get ahead and sort of have a home away from home. And they're not any better people than the people walking around on the streets, the general citizenry. And they don't join with the idea that they're going to go to war. They join hoping that they won't go to war and that they'll get money to go to college, and in the meantime that they'll have an income. And you join hoping that the government will have the grace to not waste your life and your body, unless you really are fighting against something that is truly evil versus like just a material or a material gain.
Tommy, I appreciate what you're saying, and you are in a position to say that. I never served, and so I wouldn't offer that kind of viewpoint just because I'm not really qualified, don't have the experience to support it. But I think it's very interesting because we do have a kind of imposed jingoism in this country right now. And the only way we can refer to our troops is by talking about their bravery and their courage and, you know, how they've executed their orders flawlessly. And I don't mean to demean the troops in any way, but what you've done is offered an honest, kind of unvarnished assessment of who really does join up in this volunteer army of the current era.
Absolutely. I'm not saying they're good or bad, and certainly I met some of the worst people I've ever met in my life were my coworkers in the military. But that's a generalization, and I mean there's good and there's bad, but you'd be very hard put to find any one soldier who if you asked him why he joined during a non-war time, for him to say that he was hoping to defend the American way.
Yeah. Tommy, I got to move to another call because they've been waiting too, but I appreciate your comments. Thanks for calling in today. Now to Joe in Brookings, Oregon. Hello, Joe. Welcome back.
Yeah, I just want to let people know in the Brookings, Oregon area, and I'm going to be showing the Aaron Russo movie, America from Freedom to Fascism, at the Chetco Community Library at 5 p.m. on January 30th. Admission is free. Donations are welcome. I just want to comment on these ridiculous Democrats and Republicans. You got the Democrats with their non-binding resolution against the war, and now you got the Republicans in the Senate that say they're going to filibuster a non-binding resolution. These people are all morons back there in Washington, D.C. Anybody that engages in that sort of political sophomoric behavior, they all ought to be out on their butts. You know, let me tell you something. Soldiers that are dying over there in Iraq, they're not dying in any kind of a symbolic manner. So we need to get out, and there's nothing symbolic about that.
Mm-hmm. All right, Joe, I share your point of view, and I'll just add that Sam Farr, as we pointed out a couple of times on the show today, Democratic congressman from Monterey, has introduced very clear legislation, not a non-binding feel-good resolution, but a flat repeal of the authorization that this president is currently using for the occupation of Iraq. Steve in Monterey, you're next. Go right ahead, Steve.
As we say here, mantra, like, and what's your mantra? But seriously, Peter, I just came from the demonstration, the Code Pink demonstration there. We had a good turnout, 60 people or so, and lots of horn honking, lots of approval, lots of sympathy.
And this is was this at Window on the Bay?
That's at Windows on the Bay.
Uh-huh.
I'm on my way over to Clock Tower, but I don't think I'm going to make it before the end of your show. But I just had a comment on that racist slant on Obama.
Right.
It occurs to me that they would like to say, oh, well, you can't vote for him because he's half black. So what they're going to try to do
do is say, hey, he's not going to win because the blacks won't vote for him because he's half white. And I see that's going to backfire on him because all these white people are going to go, that's right, he's half white. He's just like me.
Well, first of all, I don't like to parse things along those lines. I think it's unfair. Nobody gets to choose their parents. Nobody gets to choose their heritage. And these are just cheap shots by people who are suddenly finding themselves feeling a little bit of limpness in their organs because their extensions have been removed in Washington.
Maybe they need more OxyContin.
or Viagra or Cialis or something
like
that.
I get those all confused.
Yeah.
I'd use Rogaine myself and really blow it.
Thank you, Steve. Good to talk to you. Thank you for all your calls today. It's been a very busy day. A lot of great commentary, good reaction. And I want to close by reading the language of the resolution we just touched on. Introduced today by Sam Farr, Democratic Congressman from California. And it's very simple. Section 1, the authorization for use of military force against Iraq resolution of 2002 is hereby repealed. Section 2. The President of the United States shall provide for the withdrawal of units and members of the United States Armed Forces deployed in Iraq as part of Operation Iraqi Freedom in a safe and orderly manner. We're making progress, friends. Stay tuned. We'll be back at you tomorrow with another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, same time on these fine radio stations.
Happy trails to you. Until we meet.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The new Iraq strategy gets bad reviews on Capitol Hill.
This speech given last night by this president represents the most dangerous foreign policy blunder in this country since Vietnam.
And that's a Republican talking, Chuck Hagel of Nebraska. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice and Defense Secretary Robert Gates came under withering criticism when they tried to sell the plan today. This is Democratic Senator Bill Nelson of Florida.
I have not been told the truth over and over again by administration witnesses. And the American people have not been told the truth.
Republican Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell supports the plan and told his colleagues to give it a chance.
This exercise is going to be judged by the result. It will either work or it won't. I'm optimistic that it will. It must work.
Making it work will impose more burdens on the National Guard. Today, the Pentagon did away with a rule that limited Guard members to 2 years of active duty. It's open-ended now. House Democrats continue their big push today. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports the House voted 253 to 174 to expand stem cell research.
Support for stem cell research increased in the Democratic Congress, but the House vote still fell short of what would be needed to override a presidential veto. And President Bush, who vetoed an identical bill last year, makes clear he will do so again to continue the ban on federal funding for new embryonic stem cell research. Senate backers say they expect to have a veto-proof margin there, which should increase pressure on President Bush on an issue polls show has very strong public support.
The president also promises to veto a bill on the agenda tomorrow. It would require Medicare to negotiate with drug companies for lower prices. A statement from Barry Bonds this evening. The San Francisco Giants slugger does not deny a New York Daily News report that he tested positive for methamphetamine last season, but Bonds denies getting any drugs from teammate Mark Sweeney, saying Sweeney has nothing to do with this matter. According to the news, when Bonds was told of the test result, he claimed he'd taken meth from Sweeney's locker. Property insurers refused to pay many claims after Hurricane Katrina, telling homeowners they were covered for wind damage, but not for flooding. Today, a couple in Gulfport, Mississippi, won a big court victory against State Farm.
First, a judge ordered State Farm to pay the couple's denied damage claim of more than $223,000. Then a jury added $2.5 million more in punitive damages. State Farm's Phil Supp.